Show in the DealsWithD.com studios, kicking off another week of pandemic radio podcasting for all of you. It's been a rough few days. I had to finish my taxes. I thought that maybe July 15th would get extended too.
I'm telling you. Just can't. Well, that's for 20. Isn't that funny? It's just for 2019. So now I got to start worrying about 2020, and 2020 is halfway done.
Well, I didn't pay quarterly taxes in April, so
you didn't have to. Not till July 15th.
No, but I thought that it would be the same amount for some reason.
Well, no, because now you got to pay the second quarter, right?
No, he's not very happy about that.
Plus, the podcast has to pay sales tax for quarter two. So.
Okay, do we owe money?
Well, yeah, from the store, DrewMikeStore.com.
I see. Is the
God
store,
damn it!
Is the store busy at all, by the way?
The store is super busy.
Do we sell all the
the stuff we're trying to get rid of?
Off stuff, all the stuff
not,
we're trying
not yet. There's a few stragglers here and there, but LaDuff has new stuff out there.
Oh, yeah, fix the shit. That shirt is popular.
Yeah, and ML has new stuff out there, so. Brandon, you got to get the No Filter guys to put something together.
Okay. I am wearing the ML hat, the ML Soul Detroit hat. I like this hat. It's a nice hat. He's got a great logo.
I do love his logo. Very, very sharp.
Brandon, does No Filter have some new advertisers?
They do, yeah.
Why don't I know anything about this network anymore?
I thought that it was like all through communication with you and stuff like that.
Who are the new advertisers?
They have a Feldman Auto Group, and then they also have... they have another one too.
Wow, that's
from
great.
The great Hall Financial and Pinnacle Wealth Strategies.
Feldman's great. That's cool.
Oh, Power Home Solar.
What? Really? That's the one ML was trying to get, isn't it? Or is he trying to get a solar company? Well, I mean, it's all very interesting to me because, you know, in doing taxes, you find out what your revenues were and how much money you spent. And so 2019 was better than 2018, which is, good. I mean, that's really the only goal.
I'm sure 2020 is going to be wonderful.
You know, 2020 could be better if COVID hadn't happened.
Well, that's what I mean.
There's no question it would be better. It still is going to be better, though, I think. I still believe.
Wow.
Wrong. I paid my taxes over a year ago.
As for Charlie, ML, and the No Filter guys, although the No Filter guys, you know, they put up a donation bar, and I think it was kind of just a, I don't know, would anybody really donate to the show? But they have a really hardcore audience, and I think they donated, because those guys were losing money at one point. I think, didn't they get donation on $2,500 or something?
I'm not sure the exact amount. I know that they tossed one up on the site just to see if it could help out, because we did lose some advertisers due to coronavirus, and it really helped out. I mean, people jumped right at it, and these guys, despite it being a sports show and not a lot of sports going on, they have so many interviews that I think that everybody likes listening in, even though there's not a lot going on. You know, we just had Tom Izzo. We got Ken Holland tomorrow. We've had, you know, everybody from boxers to football to baseball. It doesn't matter.
Every time, because I cannot possibly listen to all the shows, our show, Charlie, ML, and No Filter, but I try. And I hadn't listened to No Filter in a while because those guys are never here. I never see them. And so I popped it on the other day, and I knew they had Tom Izzo on. I never got to Tom Izzo, but I loved the show because the COVID conversation was really funny. Just the some of the things in sports that I'm not really thinking about. For example, they were talking about how Garrett Cole, I guess, struck someone out, and they threw the ball around the horn, and the ump said, okay, we got to take that ball away from you. Too many people touched it. Because it went to the third baseman, second baseman, shortstop, first baseman, back to Garrett.
Oh, boy.
And Cole was pissed because, you know, once you like a ball, you rub it in, you feel good about it. You don't really want a new ball. And next batter hit a home
run. People are dying.
Well, it's clearly because they didn't have the right ball.
Yeah, the very next pitch was a homer, and he was even more pissed off. But those guys are having fun. I mean, I'm still enjoying it. And every once in a while, you get some good tidbits like this one from Denny McClain.
I got my ass eaten out by a father and a mother in Des Moines, Iowa.
In Des Moines, Iowa. That had so much color and context to it.
Paint.
I got underwear 76 years old.
Oh, man. No, they were cracking me up. They always do. And Bob Page gets just blistered in reviews for that show. But honestly, I don't think it's the same show without Bob Page.
Bob's something else. I'm telling you, you can tell if you listen to Mike Valeni, and that you can tell that Mike Valeni grew up listening to Bob Page, because there's a lot of similarities there.
I don't think Mike Valeni's gotten to Bob Page level yet, though. I think he's got a ways to go, honestly. Page is completely ragging on coronavirus, isn't he? I mean, I just picked that up in two episodes in some offhanded comments where it's clear to me that Bob really thinks this is a lot about nothing. Not nothing, yeah. But...
Yeah, and a lot of people have been angry at our show because of his cavalier attitude towards it.
Memorabilia?
Cavalier, that's a John Gacy word. Okay.
Someone on Facebook, I can't go back and find it. What is this, a show meeting? Started opening up with a show meeting. These are very important network things that we don't know about.
There were going through taxes just sort of got me, you know, looking at a lot of stuff, and I wanted to listen to shows too. And I was really pissed because, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I listen to No Filter Sports, and the quality is really good. Congratulations, Brandon.
Thank you.
I know those guys don't make it easy, but apparently, you guys have a system going, and it's working, and everyone sounds good, and for some reason. There are a couple shows in this network, I won't mention any names, but ours would be one of them, that are consistently having people sounding shitty, and it is so frustrating.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
I mean, we just invested in microphones and equipment, and the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so. With No Filter, it's been a long process for way before the pre-COVID days, because, you know, we got guys all over the map. Bob Page is either in Manhattan or, you know,
West
somewhere
Bloom.
In Florida.
Well, he's in West Bloom sometimes. Oh, he's here. Well, usually he's here when he's here. Well, yeah, it's
no,
it's
he's
tricky.
Never here. Bob Page is never in studio, so I always have to have him remote.
He's been in
Denny
studio.
Oftentimes is rolling all throughout the United States at his autograph shows, and so I have to figure out a way to get him online through a hotel.
Well, Bob has been in studio, though, just a few times. Not many. But anyway, frustrating, this whole COVID thing can just make you crazy if you let it. Honest to God. But first, here's something that you can do with the coronavirus, and it should make you better, and that's go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew and use the code Drew15 at checkout to get 15% off your entire order. And I think, has Death Wish entered into the LaDuff world now and the Elric world?
Yeah, they have. At least for a month. We'll see what happens. Same promo code.
Oh, I thought it was that we owed some reads from our show, but they actually got...
Same promo code. Yeah,
okay,
no,
cool.
It's an extension
Great.
Of this show.
No, I'm glad, because you know any of our advertisers who end up on all the shows, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. And this thing was such a setback, and I think we've done really well under the circumstances, especially when I hear that TV stations are giving away time.
Yeah.
To certain people, because they want them to really invest when things get better. But I don't remember the last time a TV station gave away time away. Yeah. So Death Wish
Coffee.
Who made
these deals?
The promo code is Drew15. Thanks to them for being a supporter of the entire network. And it's deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. It's rocket fuel. Code Drew15. If you're a wuss, don't even try it. Drew15 at checkout to get 15% off your entire order, and thanks to them for landing on some of our other shows.
They going to get us something to drink.
So, the palace blow up this weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean,
Drew.
I wish it had been the whole building, though.
That's what I was going to say. The whole inside was gone. It was just the poles around and the roof. I think you and I could have blown that up good.
I agree. With some M80s.
Oh, easily.
Why... Were they trying to make it easier for themselves? Like, oh, we'll clean this stuff up. Because that's not the idea.
Yeah, no. Maybe they didn't want a repeat of what happened at the Silver Dome. So we're going to show you guys how to do it by removing the whole building, except for the roof and a few poles. It's kind of, I don't know. I was a little disappointed into it.
I was too. But it did get me thinking about the palace and all the great times out there, which, I mean, the list is so long for me. Because when I got here, the palace had just opened up. It was, you know, the Pistons won their first two championships the first year of the Palace, first 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then the what's the women's team?
Oh, I don't know.
The Shock. I love
This is toxic shock syndrome.
I'm not even going to start down this road.
How do you get toxic shock?
How do you get it?
I don't know.
There were so many.
Brandon, how do you get it? You know?
I couldn't tell you.
There were so many stories about the palace imploding, and of course, everyone felt they had to say, "Of course, the home of three pistol championships and three championships will attract shock."
Remember how mad people were when they changed it to what? Four championship drive? What?
Well, it's kind of dumb.
What?
Isn't it really kind of? I'm sorry.
What? Did they know the Detroit Vipers Turner Cup championship?
Yeah, what about that?
Where Gordie Howe played in that one game. What? To go another decade. Wasn't that the same night as the Gulotta Tyson fight, I heard?
Didn't he get a hat trick or something?
He was phenomenal. Just the way he floated across the ice.
Stupid.
What?
Oh, well. But by the way, why do I remember that's the Turner Cup?
Because you got to drink out of it.
I did. That's
they
right.
They brought it in studio.
Yeah, actually, they were cool, too. They were partying all night. They were having such a good time. I love hockey players. So anyway, the palace, I was trying to think of all the things, you know, what were the top of my palace list? And I have to say, the build-up to the Pistons championship in 2004, were the days. Those were great days. And I remember specifically when they were down 3 points with maybe 2.3 seconds or something to New Jersey in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And this might be 2003 or even two. I don't remember exactly. But I left, gathered up. I think Tess and Evan and Alex are with me, and we just went blowing out because, you know, you don't want to get caught in that traffic. And all of a sudden, we just hear this roar. Yep. I'm like, what? Chauncey hit a bomb. And so we went back in.
The night before my brother's wedding.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I was down in Virginia.
You remember exactly where you were?
I don't remember what year it was, though. Isn't that bad?
I don't either.
Isn't that terrible?
And
sorry, Dan.
That buildup was, it was so typical of a team that is really getting there, starting with their comeback playoff victory over the Magic, I think it was, when they were down 3-1. And Chauncey had a couple big games, and Tayshaun was playing very well. And then they end up losing to the Nets, I believe. And they just, God, they were just a great, great team. And they got...
Well, when they got Rasheed.
Rasheed was a difference maker.
Huge.
It really was. And I thought when they picked up Chris Webber later on, was that 2006 maybe?
I don't remember. Nobody had a wedding then. I don't remember.
It might have been 6 or 7. And I thought, oh, Chris Webber, what a great acquisition. This is going to work. But it was not to be. They never got that other championship. But that was a lot of fun.
I think Tyson Gulotta was a blast, that fight. Even though it was a total disaster. It was a fun night at the Palace.
It was a lot of fun. It was just a crazy crowd. And it was the kind of crowd that you love to watch because there's a lot of activity.
Oh, God, yeah. A lot of peacocking.
I remember seeing... Travis Pastrana and his Nitro Circus guys doing stuff there too. Those were fun events.
What was
and it was always, you know, northern, so it was closer to me.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
But the people from downriver had to drive pretty far to get there. You know?
Oh yeah, that's a hike. What's the Maz connection to Tyson Gulotta? Something happened the same night. He alleges.
He said it was the same day as the Gordie Howe Viper game.
Is it? Well, he was talking. That's impossible.
I know it was impossible because it was in the same building. It didn't happen the same day.
I'm surprised he even said that.
Well, he realized that pretty quick when it was pointed out that, wait a second, those both happened in the same building.
But he still enjoys saying it.
Well, now he knows. Do you want to see some man on the street from Fox 2?
I love Man on the Street. In fact, I love it so much I want to highlight it by holding on for just a minute here and mentioning something really cool that is going on. If I can find a piece of paper. Here it is. Okay. Royal Oak. We talked about Royal Oak, and I've told you how the Downtown Development Authority has been helping all these businesses, and they got the Lyft program going, which I guess was a success. People were taking Lyft. Mm-hmm. They were putting in the code GO2RO. Go to Royal Oak for $10 off there, $10 off back. They were going into shop on Saturday day using it. And you know, they had to delay it for a week. There were some pauses, and it was frustrating, but it's going great. So now, I mentioned the other day that, that this is going to be nothing compared to the free money, and I'm not joking. Downtown Royal Oak. All those shops, restaurants that depend on the loyalty of customers in our community and people from outside, too. Royal Oak's always been a great destination, in my opinion. And during this public health crisis, you can safely support your favorite business in downtown Royal Oak by using Royal Oak Downtown Dollars. The Downtown Development Authority is giving away.
What are those, Drew?
How about this? $400,000 in downtown dollars. They're as good as dollars.
Yeah.
Real dollars. It's real money that can be spent at any participating location in downtown Royal Oak. And people go, oh, what are the two locations? No, there's a lot of them. what you get is a. Yeah. People love free stuff.
Especially when it's, you know, in the form of somewhat cash.
It virtually is, because you can get a free $20 e-gift card in downtown dollars. Just go to visitroyaloak.com. Starting to add up the things to remember, but this isn't hard. Visitroyaloak.com.
I'll make it really easy for you. Visit our website, and there's a little graphic, and you can click on it. It'll take you right there.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter, and you will get a... RO in the Know. I wasn't aware of this part, but whatever. It's $20. Sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter, and you'll get a free $20 e-gift card that can be used at any participating businesses, such as Lily's. I love Lily's.
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
I love the mussels at Lily's. That's a couple orders of mussels right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mesa Tacos, Tequilas, Rail and Anchor, UHF Record Store. Yeah, there's a record store on Washington. Atomic Coffee. And so many other Royal Oak favorites. And they're not favorites here. Chrome Clothing, Creative Arts Studio.
Noir. Joy. Noir Leather.
Noir Leather. Yeah, they've been there forever. I mean, when I think of Royal Oak, I think of Noir Leather.
Yeah.
As much as anybody.
It's an institution.
Funky Seven, Tom's Oyster Bar, Ale Mary's, City Raymond, Proven Grounds Coffee and Ice Cream, Oak City Grill, Office Coffee Shop. We know those people. In fact, they've got rooms you can have meetings in there.
Yeah.
Which are pretty nice. Pretty That's, cool. We had a Mesa meeting in there once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we should have a show meeting in there.
Okay, well... Can we just do it on Facebook?
Well, I'm just saying it again. Once we can get out.
Restaurant chains I never heard of.
There's a bridal store. If you're getting married.
It's Office Cop.
And your
Office
money there.
Coffee.
Did you mention Creative Arts Studio? You can do that.
I don't think I did. You know, I'm kind of
Char's
miffed.
Painted some stuff there.
A couple of my favorite stores on here. Where's the...
Don't mention them.
Where's
Force
the,
them.
Where's the School of Rock and Roll? The
Force Great them.
School of Rock. Where are you?
Force them to use... Downtown, what's it called?
Fern.
Downtown Dollars.
Downtown Dollars.
Royal Oak Downtown
Yeah, just,
Dollars.
Again, go to the website, go to visitroyaloak.com, sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter, and you'll get a free $20 e-gift card used at any of those businesses. You can use it at my place. If anybody gives you a hard time, let me know. Rail and Anchor, Lily's, all the ones we mentioned. There you go. Things are hopping, man.
We have so much money, we don't know what to do with it.
I know we had a good weekend in Royal Oak, too.
Hey.
Everybody's very pleased. So there you go.
Going back to the palace, someone mentioned that is where Righteous Rick had his big fight. That was at the palace, man. Baby
yes.
kick Rick.
The baby kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a fun night, man.
I introduced Righteous Rick that night. It was exciting. Yeah,
forgot about that.
And yeah, he won.
He did.
He did win. He
a
always
lot of baby
wins.
Kicks.
I'll fight him.
Death by 1,000 baby kicks.
The palace is also where the Uncle Bob incident happened.
That's right.
I was at the that was the Pistons and Magic playoff game, I'm almost positive, and Bruce Hornsby did the national anthem. And so I was getting tickets from the guy that did PR at the palace. God bless him. He's not with us anymore.
Matt Dobek?
Yeah. Great guy. Really nice guy. Very helpful. They were really trying to get the Pistons going, and it was working, and it was because of people like him. Anyway, he got me those tickets, and they were great tickets. I'm like, oh my God, this is cool. Look at all that. This is like players' wives and stuff. So then I realized that Bruce Hornsby's 3 seats away from me. What the hell? And he's with 2 little kids, and I just saw him doing the anthem, so I recognized him, and I'm like, hey, Bruce, how you doing? And I was keeping it
Did
cool.
You go, where's the range?
Being Bruce isn't easy.
We're the dead, man. Don't you play with the dead. So Bruce is really nice. We're talking away. Mostly I think about basketball, and I'm a fan of Bruce Hornsby. So we're talking a little music, and then
yeah,
all of a sudden,
who isn't, kid?
He, like, I wasn't even there. He goes, hey, kids, doesn't it look like Uncle Bob? I'm thinking,
what a blow off.
I don't know who Uncle Bob is. How am I supposed to participate in this part of the conversation, Bruce?
It's like, yeah, it looks just like Uncle Bob. It's crazy. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
And the kids went along in a way that made me suspect, and I think I may have been paranoid. I'm not entirely sure, though, that Uncle Bob was a cue that blow off this dork.
Yeah. Hey, get out of here.
You know, this is what you should have said.
I got an uncle with a wobbly leg. I can't stand that motherfucker. Leaning on shit all the time.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Ouch.
It was really rough. That's painful. I thought we were bonding in a big way, and apparently not. Uncle Bob had to be called out, called into action. But Uncle Bob doesn't even exist.
Wouldn't you love to know if he does?
Yeah, I would. You know,
we should get an interview with Bruce Hornsby just to ask that question and then just wrap it up after that.
I wonder
Let me see if he's got a brother.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
It would be his brother. You're right.
Oh, that's right.
Duh. Well, and his father's name is Bob.
His dad's name is Bob?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if maybe his dad had a junior, which would be Bruce's.
Oh, that would make sense.
You know, that would mean this conversation could still be going right now if there really is an Uncle Bob. Stupid. I was being paranoid. Damn it. I could have gotten his phone number. We could be talking to Hornsby right now.
Oh, I found it. So, really? Bruce Hornsby has two brothers, John and Bob.
Well, wasn't
Uncle
lying
Bob
then.
Exists.
Son
hey,
of a bitch.
Penis looks great today.
So and maybe Hornsby, he legit looked like Uncle Bob.
The fact is he was so stunned by the lookalike, the doppelganger nature of this guy, that he briefly interrupted what he thought was a fabulous conversation. Scintillating.
Now you got to find a picture of him, Brandon, and see if that guy looked like Uncle Bob. Do you remember what the guy looked like?
I don't. I did for a while.
Wouldn't he have to have a very distinguishable look, or else he'll just look like any generic older white guy?
That's what I remember him looking like, a generic older white guy, which is why
perfectly.
I was suspicious. I thought he was bald, for one. I thought he was like bald on top and looked like an Uncle Bob, but I may have invented that in my mind. It's so much. I should be hypnotized for this. I really should. What a loss that was.
That's funny.
How disappointing. Anyway, you know, I've been playing so much music lately.
Do you want Man on the Street before we leave the palace?
Yeah, let's zoom in on this. Is there anything else with the palace? Should we call Maz at some point and find out if important memories?
What else can be said about it?
Well, you know, he'll have something else to say. Maybe we'll call him at the end of the show.
One of my issues is, and this has always been an issue, is when people are like, all those memories. Like, well, the building being gone doesn't ruin the memories. It's fun to think about them, but...
Well, I know, and I don't think
doesn't mean the memories disappear out of your head.
Going to another venue doesn't... Do you really go, oh my God, this isn't as cool as a palace?
No, usually you go, well, this place is way better than that old dump.
I don't really... You know what I miss about the palace was that you could park right there.
Parking.
That's hard to beat. But downtown is, I mean, there was a reason for that.
And I know people hated it, thought it was really hard to get in and out of the palace. I actually thought it was pretty simple.
Well, they always closed off that one exit.
Right
to
75.
Can somebody explain that? I still want to know. I feel cheated. So many things I'm cheated about today.
Maybe we should have done some palace memories like we did with Silverdome memories.
That's a great idea, Brandon.
Except the palace didn't have quite the feel the Silverdome had.
Memories of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
Oh, that's easy. Like, my Silver Dome memory, my best one, is from a Lions game in 95. Right after Barry scores, the big screen shows this chick with huge jugs cheering. And I'm hoping, you know. Anyways, as soon as she realizes she's on the screen, almost by an instinct, she pulls up a top. No bra, perfect t- big fat ass 42 double F's. Nipples like sand dollars. Well, you know me, I'm a sucker for a big pair of tubes. I pop a rod. Anyways, 7 years later, she's my wife of 4 years and the mother of our twin daughters, who are six. I guess that's like my favorite Silver Dome memory and sh-
True story.
Adorable. I had an idea for a bit today, and it was not the palace memories, but I did think about that. I have another idea. I want to run by you guys. We'll do a meeting on the show, and you have to tell me if it's too outrageous. But let's see what the people in the street had to say.
Look at that. They're not even blowing. There's nothing in that building.
It's like blowing up a parking lot with just one level.
The implosion of the Palace of Auburn Hills lasted just seconds, but it brought back decades of memories for people crowding around the gates and watching across the street.
I saw the last game played at the Palace the year that the Pistons won the back-to-backs. You know, and I saw that cloud of dust go away. That's a lot of memories getting blown out of here.
Okay.
So. Sad thing.
Saw a lot of unique things here. Worked with a lot of awesome people. It was just a great experience.
I see this guy work there. A little different.
Clay's Cole started working at the palace the year it opened. in 1988 until 2006. Holmes wore one of the original jackets as he watched the end of an era in Auburn Hills and in his life.
Memories of just watching the Bad Boys grow and watching the team grow, watching them coming together. All the wrestling matches.
Some people say the Bad Boys already grown by the time they got to the Palace.
The Detroit Pistons played at the Palace.
He's got an original jacket, easy.
That thing's on eBay right now.
Since then, it housed a couple concerts, but mostly sat vacant. Then last year,
Cruz started tearing down the couch.
Just the columns and roof remained. The implosion brought the rest down Saturday morning.
I'm kind of glad that it's now down just because it was nothing compared to the opulence that it used to be, and it had to come down.
The site was rezoned.
Well, yeah, they destroyed the interior of it. Of course not.
Headquarters, mixed office space.
What's he talking about?
I don't want a story.
The redevelopment will add hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs.
This is really the ideal situation.
All right, that's a talking head.
Why do I want to argue with people on the street? Man on the street. That's the beauty of it, is they're allowed to spew it out and let it go.
You got to love that guy's jacket, though. It's pretty cool. What? You didn't like it?
I think it's really funny that he dug it up. Does he still
dug it up. That guy's wearing that all the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah. This jacket is awesome. Ooh, and it's tighter than dick skin.
Gave him a chance to point out that he has an original jacket.
Yeah, you don't have one.
Nice jacket. Who shot the couch?
Hey, is the Farley doc on Hulu, is that different from the one we've watched?
It's new, isn't it?
I think it is.
My buddy just texted me and said, hey, you got to watch the Farley doc. And I said, I seen it a year ago. And I think it's brand new.
I think it's longer, too. It's really good. I mean, Farley, I cannot believe how many things he did that were so damn funny.
Yep.
I mean, somebody who was on the dock, I think he was a friend, and he worked at Second City, or he was in Second City. Anyway, he was pointing out that the way he said certain things, like anywho, you know, when he was doing that goofy voice, he could take the most, something that looks so innocuous on a piece of paper and turn it into something. And
your daddy on the phone?
Oh, I miss that guy.
So what is this doc called, this new one?
I'm trying to find
Chris
it.
Farley something.
Anything for a laugh?
The one that we're used to is I Am Chris Farley.
Yeah.
And this one, anything for a laugh.
Huh.
I tell you, I laughed so hard seeing the clip of Chris Farley doing Tom Arnold with Victoria Jackson as Roseanne.
He's constantly throwing his hands at the camera.
I just hopped in a cab and went to rehab.
We got way too much energy, and she's just sitting there chewing gum.
She's chewing gum saying, I might have fired a couple people, maybe 500, I don't know.
Yeah. Such a really great bit.
That was a great stretch.
I was trying to explain Chris Farley to Charlotte because they have the same birthday. I'm like, oh, I like this guy. She's like, who is he? I'm like, I don't know. How do you explain somebody? Like, he's a fat guy that made people laugh.
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
You should show him doing a...
I was way more excited about it than she was, and I don't even know why I was excited about it.
If she doesn't laugh at I Live in a Van Down by the River, I think it'd be hard. She needs a few years.
Yeah, true.
That is so... And he falls on the
table.
He's
just a funny-looking dude, yeah.
Anthony Bentley Gabbar.
I live in a van down by the river.
Sales staff in Oakland County at Zot Ford. And Holly. Recognize we're in the middle of some weird times, and that has led to the Ford promise. Of course, coronavirus and, you know, people not working and people worrying about working. Well, the Ford promise says when you buy or lease your new or pre-loved vehicle from our friends at Zot Ford, people like Jim Bentley, they promise to buy your vehicle back with no penalty to you if you lose your job anytime during the next 12 months. I mean, if you blow the place up, if you literally plant a bomb, well, I don't know if you planted a bomb, if you would get your money back, but
probably not. They'll allow due process, though.
They might insist. Yeah, they would. They might insist on you making payments until you prove that you didn't do it, which you did it. So I don't know why I brought it up. It's very simple, though. Enjoy the peace of mind knowing that why am I trying to make this more complicated? Enjoy the peace of mind knowing if you lose your job, they'll take your vehicle back. No questions asked. No penalty. No blemishes on your credit. No joke. Period. So get down to Zot Ford or call Bentley or call Anthony. The magic phone is 248-215-5151. You can always get the details, see their incredible deals, and surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. The Hall Financial Hotline will be opened eventually. And in fact, Hall Financial is getting rates now that even exceed the lowest levels they previously had. They're getting rates that have a two in front for some people. That's amazing. Great. But that means you can save a whole lot of money. In fact, that means if you thought you got a great refi a year and a half ago, you might want to check up and see if you can save more money. I mean, there are people with house payments around $1,200 who are doing $800, $900, something like that. Imagine what a great thing that would be if you lower your monthly payments. It's a whole lot of money. And by refinancing, you probably skip a couple payments, which would be great about now. So why not see if you can save some money or cut your term with Hall Financial? 19-day average, they're very quick. And they've got over 1,500 five-star reviews from Michigan homeowners. Go to the webpage, click on the logo, or get started. Call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435.
You see, I think the ABNN missed a big important story.
I think it happened while we were off, didn't it?
It did it. This weekend? He was mad because they couldn't serve the lady trying to countersue him for the whole rape allegation.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news.
Booming.
The rape accuser, he claims, is hiding from a deposition. They want to serve her.
Oh. Was that AB's actual fart there, Brandon?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Why does it matter?
Her accuracy. Yeah,
it does.
Accuracy.
No, it is.
Her lawyer said she's not hiding. She's just in Florida, and there's a little bit of coronavirus going around, so she's staying home. She's not leaving, so they have been having trouble serving her.
Well, I also saw that the Patriots settled with AB.
Oh, really?
They gave him. They settled on $5 million.
Yeah,
which is like
compensation.
Why should they have to pay
anything?
No. And Aaron. And Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, Aaron Hernandez. How stupid is that?
Yeah.
Good God.
Okay. What was the settlement there?
I got the impression Aaron Hernandez got a couple million bucks.
Well, he never did anything in the eyes of the law, so I guess.
No, he had one murder. Oh, that's right. They vacated it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, why don't they give him his whole $40 million then?
That might be worth fighting.
Oh, how absolutely dumb. Well, that's really obnoxious. I was trying to busy myself with music yesterday. I find in these troubled times, I really am listening to a lot of music just because it can take me away from all this crap. So yesterday, I started down this train. I was reading about Keith Richards and the 10 songs Keith Richards says he can't live without, all of which are songs you don't know.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, most people don't know.
He's so cool.
Well, he's also old.
He really can't live without them?
I don't know if he can live without them or not. But he had a Chuck Berry song, Wee Wee Hours, that I didn't know. And I immediately went to Chuck Berry at his, remember, 60th birthday celebration, which was a documentary?
I don't.
He punches Keith Richards during the filming of the documentary. Keith is actually begging all these great people to be part of it, to make it into something big, which it should have been, and it was. And Keith feels like, or Chuck feels like Keith is trying to run the show. I mean, it's Chuck is very paranoid. Chuck has some issues, as we know, but from that pew fart and other things. But anyway,
he punched him. Is it on?
I don't think that's on video. But you know what it was about? Chuck brought in a guitar, an old guitar, and Keith was like, "Oh my God, look at that!" And Chuck opened up the case, and so at some point, Keith took it out of the case and played a chord or two, and Chuck just punched him.
Like, that's a logical.
I didn't say you could play it.
What a logical response.
Of course. But anyway, they did a version of Wee Wee Hours on that with Eric Clapton, and I was like, wow, I could live without that song, but it was still extremely cool. And then I started going down to Freddie Scott, Are You Lonely For Me Tonight, which is an old R&B song, and somehow I ended up in James Brown world.
Oh, great.
Which is always fun, because
yeah,
you know, Motown 25, people will marvel about it and watch it over and over and over. Michael Jackson moonwalking.
Mm-hmm.
James Brown on Night Train, the dancing is absolutely incredible, unbelievable. And also on plea, he has this act. He does this thing during Please, 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 where, you know, he's put out so much and he's begging so hard that he literally collapses on stage. And his guy has to come out, the guy that takes his coat off at the beginning of the show and puts it on when he doesn't have anything left and leads him off the stage. And the guy picks him up. He puts the coat on him, and then James reaches back for the microphone, starts singing again, and then he collapses again.
Oh.
And the guys kind of gingerly walk him off the stage.
Yeah!
And all of a sudden, James comes back to life, and he goes back to the mic and starts singing. And he's, what's really funny is these guys pleading with him like, James, you know, you really got to get off the stage. You've overdone it this time. And James just, he just can't leave the stage. I mean, it's all an act, but it's very
funny.
This
is a man's world.
It's really well done.
Was that on the Tammy show when he passed out?
I think it was on the Tammy show.
I'm looking for it right now.
Which guy?
Oh, yeah, he's like having a heart attack. That guy's really concerned about him, too. He's trying to put the coat on him to get him off.
He's trying to reason with him while the band's playing.
That hair is luxurious. He can barely walk. Oh, there he collapsed.
Collapsed.
Pretty cool. He collapsed right on the beat.
They may have to call a stretcher
off
out.
The way, though.
Yeah, right on the beat. I mean, that is showmanship.
Is it weird, too, that he had dancers on stage with him, too? I mean, now we just see dancers everywhere.
I know, and I felt a little hypocritical, like, oh, all I do is rip
well,
on dancing
still a band.
On stage.
Still
but,
a band,
yeah,
though.
There's a giant band, and he's a band leader. I mean, if one of those horns is off, he knows immediately, and he finds them. Yeah. If their shoes aren't polished, he was a ball-busting band leader.
I was thinking about that because... one of the 4th of July fireworks special thing had the Temptations on there.
Oh, okay.
Like today's.
And yeah. They're still original.
They're still dancing together.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, I mean, that's fine. That's just great. But it's just kind of weird looking back then at the older clips where they're dancing together. But, you know, showmanship.
Well, the Temptations have somehow they've stood the test of time and they still do a lot of gigs. I know they play Vegas a lot and they're great.
Yeah. But what else was on Richard's list? Anything else?
Well, he had little Walter on there. He had a few other people. I think Graham Parsons was on there, and I went down that train. I'll get to that in a second. But James Brown Night Train is another one where he's just dancing up a storm. I mean, it's just if you love music and you love just going away for a while, please, 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 the Tammy Show and Night Train. And I also love the song I'll Just Cry, Cry, Cry. Which I think is a breakup song, like, you know, if you ever leave me, I'll just cry, cry, cry. It's just, I love his songs. He's so revered by musicians that sometimes I feel like, why haven't I paid more attention to James Brown? He deserves my attention. And I just love the whole thing. I love all music.
What'd you say?
If I'm missing something, I want to see it. I want to find it. And Graham Parsons always been interested in, too, because I knew he and Keith were good friends. Well, they were heroin buddies. And Graham was a trust fund baby whose parents both were dead, I think, by the time he was 16. And so he lived this ultra-rich, you know, spoiled, entitled life. He went to Harvard, by the way.
Ooh!
And he would overdose on heroin, I think, when he was 24 and die. But in the meantime, he dropped out of Harvard. Let's see, who was it he heard? It's funny. It's like he heard one song and he just dropped out because he was so inspired.
Really?
And I'm trying to remember what it was. I forgot what the song was. Wait, did I write that down? Hold on.
In the meantime, Brandon, can you, I was texting you, but my text won't go through. Can you send me the Zoom information? Tower 2 crashed on me. Roger, over. And I can't see it. Tower 2 over.
So, Graham, and that was, you know, I remember watching the last 24 hours of Graham Parsons. You know those autopsy things on Reels?
Yeah.
We've talked about those, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because that guy pisses
the
me
Reels
off.
Does, but they do a pretty good job. I mean, it's like they a Wikipedia type thing. But
why does the doctor have to be in scrubs as he's explaining this to us?
Because he just got off a very important surgery.
He's in a lab. And
well, to that point, you ever see people like walking around the grocery store or whatever in their scrubs?
Yes. Well, absolutely.
You can't change. I mean,
I was just at the park yesterday with a little girl, and there was a bunch of, like a group of them. I think they maybe just all left work together.
Maybe they all did surgery together, and they just afterwards.
They just left? Decided not to change?
Let's go to the park.
It'd be like working out at the gym, getting all sweaty, or wearing your suit. It'd be like wearing your suit to the park.
Kind of silly. Well, that guy on the 24 hours, last 24 hours show, he's always, you know, let's just say, I'm trying to think, Chuck Berry died at 90, didn't he? Wasn't he 89 or 90 or 91? And he'll go, Chuck was known to have smoked from 61 to 68, so that probably, it's like, he's 91!
Well, he could have lived to be 93, Drew.
I know, it's like, what do you expect out of people, that they will live forever? Because he'll always point out that they, you know, abused alcohol at some stretch, or someone said they abused alcohol. And here's what that probably did. They probably had liver enzymes were elevated. And I just get really pissed at him because, first of all, we're talking about rock stars.
Maybe you're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe it's like, hey, this guy did all that terrible stuff. And look how long he lived.
Well, he does occasionally do one of those
you can do it
older
too.
People, which is always funny to me. But anyway, he did one on Graham Parsons. And Graham Parsons OD'd in, what's the desert spot that Entourage went there? U2
Joshua Tree?
Joshua Tree.
Yeah. Joshua Tree. He was at Joshua Tree in a little hotel, and they were just, you know, partying away, and I think he OD'd on heroin, and these two chicks, I believe they packed his ass with ice to try and bring him back.
I remember the story.
Remember that?
Yes,
I do. So, yeah, Graham Parsons.
It worked.
It didn't work too well. He stayed alive for a little while, but then he died.
He says rectum damn near killed him.
I wonder if anybody packed him. No, nobody packed him with ice because he was found dead. Chris Farley.
Nice knowing that not only did you die, but someone tried to pack your rectum full of ice at the same time. But he's dead. He doesn't know.
Yeah, I'm reading it right here. Fisher gave Parsons an ice cube suppository.
Yeah, somebody will probably, a life could be saved because of this conversation today. Someone listening is going to, they're going to see somebody pass out and go, put some ice in their butt.
Looks like it's just lacerations to the rectum.
Did the family get there and go, why is his butt so wet and red? I don't know.
Not that I'm aware of.
Why is his butt so, it's like someone put ice in his asshole.
Did someone pack ice in there? What the hell's going on?
That's absurd. No one would do such
somebody
a thing.
Somebody abusing a corpse? Jesus.
He must have done that before he died.
The point of Graham Parsons is that he was these deep dives are getting ridiculous. Graham Parsons,
I think I saw his butthole.
Worked with the Stones and was a big influence on their country sound, like on Sweet Virginia.
Oh, great song!
I know, great song. I love those songs and Wild Horses too. In fact, he released Wild Horses before the Stones did because he worked on it, and I think their record wasn't ready or whatever. I don't know. And he has a great version. He also has a nice version of, he wrote Love Hurts, the Nazareth song.
Really?
I'm not a huge Nazareth fan, but I was still interested. I was like, what? He wrote that? You kidding me? He's got a version with Emmylou Harris. It's pretty good.
Didn't Johnny Cash cover that or no?
Did Johnny Cash cover Love Hurts?
I'm thinking of a different one.
Johnny Cash covered so many
songs. Did Roy Orbison cover it?
I don't think Roy covered it.
There's a Love Hurts by Roy Orbison.
Is there?
Is it going to be different?
Joan Jett,
I'm gonna guess
Brothers.
I'm going to guess it's the same.
Love hurts.
Yeah, it is.
Love's gone.
What year is this?
Love
does not say.
And love.
You love me?
Anyone. Not tell.
I don't love you, okay?
Nor strong enough to take a lot of pain.
I think Graham and Emmylou Harris is better.
Yeah.
It's really sort of broken down. But he was in the Flying Burrito Brothers, and that was the beginning of country merging into rock. So he was important. He's important in our story. Continuing story.
So he said, do you love me? And she says, no. But that's a real nice ski mask.
What a great scene that was.
I'm not sure how Nazareth got their version out of this.
Yeah.
It's almost like a different song. So, yeah, that was... what else did I listen to this weekend? Man, I was listening to a lot of music. You know, I got on that Harvey Danger kick, and I really like Harvey Danger.
They have one song, though.
No, they don't. You know, honestly, I just typed in Harvey Danger artist, and of course, Flagpole Sitta comes up. Yeah,
always.
Right up. And then I just let it roll, and I liked a lot of the songs. I love that. I mean, that's a great song. They got a lot of good songs. So also, the Stones are re-releasing Goat's Head Soup. And they put out a song, Trudy was talking about, Crisscross, which was, I guess, from those sessions. And a lot of people are really digging Crisscross.
See, you say Crisscross, and I think of the
Christopher Cross,
the rap duo that wore their pants backwards.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's jump, what I think of,
jump,
too.
Jump.
I can't help but think of either the movie with Danny DeVito and the big fat lady and Billy Crystal. Throw Mama from the
throw
train.
Throw Mama from the train.
Because Crisscross was the plot of the movie, wasn't it?
You know, we they actually killed each other's drops spouses. From that movie.
There's some great drops.
Owen loves his mama. Owen loves his mama. Give me a soda with some ice in it. Owen!
Oh, gosh,
he loves his poop.
That's a great movie. I really laughed at that movie. I think that was maybe the only Billy Crystal thing I really liked outside of Saturday Night Live.
What about City Slickers?
I liked City Slickers as a kid. I also liked...
what about you love When Harry
Princess
Met Sally.
Bride. He was in that.
When Harry Met Sally. I thought he was... I could not believe Meg Ryan. I couldn't go along with Meg Ryan being with Billy Crystal. I just could not.
Well,
she's too hot.
He wore on her that drive across country.
That's right. God.
How about Analyze This? People love that movie. No,
they do. They like the sequel,
that.
Too.
Yeah.
Hope Bob De Niro had enough to eat over the weekend. We're talking about him being out of money.
Right.
How crazy is that? Hey, so the Sandberg movie, Andy Sandberg movie was good?
Yeah, Palm Springs. It's on Hulu. It's not like a wacky one, but it's... The plot is wacky. It's kind of like a Groundhog's Day kind of thing. The guy, he's stuck living the same... Well, I shouldn't kind of spoil the beginning of it. But he's stuck living the same day over and over and over. And it becomes kind of a... You know, there's a romantic element to it. But I don't know. It was really watchable. It was really, really good. I thought it was funny.
Well, the Tom Hanks movie is supposed to be a big deal, too.
So, yeah, it's called Greyhound. That's on Apple TV+. I watched it this weekend... It's about
did you like it.
I you know what I did, and then afterwards I'm thinking about it and thinking about the plot of the movie, and I'm like, this movie could have been 4 minutes long because it's just one long. It's about the Battle of the Atlantic in World War II. You know, the ships crossing.
I mean,
you don't like
not,
World War II
there's
movies.
There's not even full electricity at that point.
But they had electricity. They had lights on the boats.
A lot of outdoor plumbing too.
What do you mean?
I don't like. Movies where there's not full electricity and full plumbing.
How can you not like a World War
II
movie?
Red Team, go! Red Team, go!
I feel like I know the ending too well.
Well, that's the problem. You know Hanks isn't going to die. The second Hanks is in the movie, he's not going to die.
No.
But it's just a battle of, you know, the ships and the U-boats as they're crossing the Atlantic. And it's pretty riveting, and it's like on the edge of your seat. But then again, there's really no plot to it because I just told you what the plot is. They cross the Atlantic, and he doesn't die.
Well... You know, if the Axis won occasionally, maybe I'd be more interested.
Well, that's kind of why I liked, what was the Quentin Tarantino movie?
Oh, the one why about Manson?
Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, Inglourious
yeah.
Basterds.
I mean, there's just a
movie.
Different element to World War II. There is a very special cameo in Greyhound that Brandon and I found out before the show today.
Yeah.
Care to guess who the special cameo would
cameo
be?
Cameo in...
Related to Tom Hanks? And I mean,
Chet!
Literally related to Tom Hanks.
So I went on Chet's Instagram page today to see if he has a new message for us.
Hold that thought. That's too big. We have to highlight it because I will do something, and I know people will pay close attention because they're so desperate to hear Chet Hanks' post. Our Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Put the phone number on your fridge right now. 877 job done. Put the website too. 877jobdone.com. Maybe you want to find out they do what you need. When it's an emergency, like you got a lot of water in your basement, or you notice mold, how bad is it? They do that. Mold removal, water removal, storm damage, fire damage, And they're also doing some COVID business. I think they got some, didn't they get some COVID business from the show?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
I heard they were pumped about
that. Huge, yeah.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated. They do those things that you can do. I mean, some of them I could do if I called a bunch of friends to help. But no. Just call 877-JOB-DONE, and then it's one phone call and job done. I mean, that's your job, is to make the phone call. That's it. I mean, you can pay them, but I like that much better than thinking about all the things that I have to do, and you know they'll do a better job, too. So there you go. If you hate water as much as I do, it's great to know Emergency Response Services Incorporated are available for all your water extraction, drying needs, and the mold that may exist afterwards. Oh, boy. And then, of course, our friends at Adam. If you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, because you're concerned about custody or your home and getting equality and fairness in this agreement, especially with child custody. It's a lot easier for a guy now, but it's probably a lot of the work of people like Adam that have made that happen. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
Palm Springs, by the way, got a 92 on the thermometer and a 90 from the audience.
Is that so?
Yeah. And whoa. Then Greyhound, starring Chet Hanks, got 78 from the audience and got an 80 from Rotten Tomatoes. I think an 80 might be a little high, but it's worth watching.
How big a role does Chet have?
Very small.
Okay, and are there any posts?
Are there what?
Accompanying posts from Chet?
So that's how we discovered it. I went on there to kind of see if Chet was giving us any of his daily advice, which he has in the past. And yes, I do have a new video of Chet. But in the process, I came up to this post, and it's just a screenshot of some dude in a red light screaming. And it says, y'all make sure to go check out the new movie Greyhound to peep your boy in the cut as Sonar Man. Only on Apple TV, you heard. So, Chet Hanks is Sonar Man in Daddy's brand new movie. I'm sure he auditioned for it.
Pretty big role. The clip he put on Instagram is just the trailer of the movie. So I don't know.
Yeah, thought he was. He didn't like nepotism.
I guess not. Well, unless
maybe he tried out as someone else.
What about
this? Might have been filmed before he hated nepotism.
When he showed up for the audition, he was Chet Hayes, and no one put two and two together.
Does he have any good posts lately? Like, remember when he needed to get out of his head? That was a powerful post.
Yeah. I haven't even seen this one yet. I just know it's a video.
Oh, it's gonna
and
be
I
good.
Know it's probably going to be deep. Let's just let it roll.
It's Tom Hanks' son. It has to be.
What's up, you guys? So I just wanted to tap in real quick.
Of course not.
And say that if you've been going through some tough times lately, just remember, tough times don't last. Tough people do. Straight up.
Wow, what did you just think of that?
It's really been crazy, and like you're feeling like you don't know what's going to happen, then you might be on the verge of a major level up. A major level up. You might be on the verge of something. Something great.
Or you're not. And just keep that in mind. Things just suck.
If you're watching this right now, I want to see you win.
Is he a motivational speaker?
He should be.
Stay calm, and we're going to be all right. Go get through this.
Oh, my God. He's so
deep.
And I'm sending you love. And if you got someone you want to send some love and some light to, tag them below. God bless.
Everybody still awake?
It's really good.
Yeah.
His tone.
Anything else?
No, that's it. He's been very quiet on social media for the last couple weeks, and ever since... I think he's been recovering from his broken leg.
I'm a little frightened to ask. How many likes did that video get?
It was played 40,000 times. It's got 1,000 comments, and they're all positive that I've seen.
They're all chicks that want to bone them, right?
Oh, can you read some comments? Some selected comments?
Thank you so much for this post. Here's one from Monica Prince. I needed this, Chet. You have no idea. Thank you.
Do you need mental help?
It's just all really positive stuff.
Okay. Well, that's funny because I heard that, when the story came out about this guy, August or Augusto, somebody who said he was banging Will Smith's wife with Will's permission.
Oh, yeah.
As he's promoting a record, which I thought was really obnoxious. I mean, what a jerk. That's really... Anyway, he, it turns out, was introduced to... her by Jaden Smith. So nice of Will's kid.
Jaden Smith lets his parents do whatever they want.
nice of him to let his mom get banged by somebody besides dad. But as I read more, and I should have read less, it said something to the fact that Jaden felt that he needed some mental health help. So that's why he took him to his mother.
To bang? Jada really?
Pinkett. No, it wasn't to have sex.
Mom do knows best.
He thought he needed some counseling. Like people might, you might have a choice between Chet Hanks or Jada Pinkett or a real therapist. You know, who's on the clock. And
I'd go to Chet. It's cheaper. Saying.
So Will Smith and Jada.
Did you watch any of the Red Table thing they did together?
I didn't either,
but it's getting ragged on hard. And one of the best stories to come out of
now, why? Oh, because he banged Margot Robbie in the meantime?
I think so.
That's what people are suggesting.
And he looks a little bit like a cuck in the whole thing.
Is that what he's getting ragged for?
A little bit. But the best one is, did you see the story about him and 50 Cent?
Will Smith?
Yeah, 50 Cent reached out to Will and was asking, you know, hey, is everything okay? You know, you all right? Everything good? And Will Smith wrote, yeah, everything's fine. And then Fitty wrote, but why she tell you that shit on a show for everyone to see? To which Will responded, we broke up, so she did her and I did mine. And then 50 Cent said, then she said, only she can get permission for someone to blow her back out. To which Will Smith responded, fuck you, 50. That was the end of it.
So Fitty put it up for us to read?
Yeah, of course he did. He's pretty good at social media.
Well, if you call that good, I call that being a complete
shitty
dick.
Yeah, no,
what a jerk. I mean, he really thinks Will Smith's his friend.
Well, I guess he did until he made a joke about Jada getting her black back blown out.
Honest to God, I'm just...
She's not your friend.
I'm so amazed by the things people write about people they don't know or do know. There is just no decorum. And I'm not the king of decorum by any means, but it's so far off. I mean, we could talk about it all day.
I guess during the episode, Will Smith was able to joke about supporting his wife through her quote-unquote transgressions, leading Jada to said, I actually don't look at it as a transgression at all. Through that particular journey, I learned so much about myself and was really able to confront a lot of emotional immaturity, emotional insecurity.
From this guy's dick?
And I was able to really do some deep healing. Didn't she just follow Chet Hanks to learn that stuff?
I can't, you know, I'm actually wondering how many people could really go on Facebook Live and talk about their wife getting nailed by some 27-year-old guy for an hour.
Just Will Smith.
Why would anyone do that?
Just the Fresh Prince.
Well, the Fresh Prince turned into a meme this weekend because there was kind of a screenshot that was taken where he's looking very, very sad as Jada explains nailing some other dude. And it became meme territory overnight.
That video already has 23 million views.
Because people want to see the guy talking to his wife who's talking about the 27-year-old she was getting nailed by.
Yeah, it's not awkward at all either.
No, not at all.
That reminds me.
Oh, my God.
We haven't talked about or played any of Paris Jackson's new show, which is also on Facebook. Have you watched any of it?
I have not.
Man, it's
riveting.
I feel
like I have really missed something.
It's really good. It's called Unfiltered, Paris Jackson and Gabriel Glenn. He gets full name Billy on the show as if anybody's coming to it.
This is the show that we saw the trailer for.
Yes.
Where she revealed that they were both they were equally damaged when they met, which is perfect.
You got it, yeah.
How many people watched this?
It's up to 2.5 million views now.
Okay.
Oh, episode 2, not much carryover, though. Only
2.5 million?
Only 1.6.
Why can't I be Paris Jackson?
But then your dad would have been Michael.
That's true. But I'd have all that musical ability. From Arnie Klein.
And own me. And I'll be a slave to that kind of pain and torment. I don't want that.
You don't want to be a slave to pain and torment, do you, Drew?
No.
I am band member in the Salflowers with my boyfriend, Gabe.
We have about an EP's worth of music that we're recording and we shoot videos.
A whole EP.
Wait, are we sure this isn't a promo for some music that nobody else cares about?
Of course it is.
Tell me what your wishes are for your birthday. What would you like to see happen?
It's going to be music related.
She's 4, and Michael, her father biologically, said, What are your wishes for the future?
For your life. What do you want?
I do what you do.
What do I do?
You dance and sing.
That's what you want to do?
And masturbate to boys' buttholes.
Paris just got a heart like her dad's.
Heart of gold.
Heart of gold.
I would not describe Michael Jackson's heart as a heart of gold.
Paris, he was on cloud nine. He spoiled her, rightfully so, but he just loves his princess.
Don't consider to be on solid
Something
ground
I still
myself.
Struggle with is she lost her dad, and I don't think you could have gotten a more loving and dedicated father. From birth to the day she's a grandparent, my uncle would have been there every step of the way, trying to do his best to make her as strong and happy as possible. To lose that is hard for me.
Who is this talking?
I don't
Growing
know,
up,
her
I think
cousin.
It's difficult for everybody, especially when...
Here she is in the studio.
It's like I played guitar and I sang and I wrote
Does
songs.
Does anyone ever talk about all the money they left her and how cool that part is?
No, of
course. Or is it all about the pain?
I started calling myself a musician.
Geronimo!
That's this is her giving her boyfriend directions in the studio because, you know, she's got Jackson's genes.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Okay.
She just knows.
I'm gonna try it.
Geronimo, I'm letting you she just gave it the thumbs up.
That's
she starts talking about her relationships. That's what I'm looking
Never thought
for.
I'd end up with a dude.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather end up marrying a chick or...
I've dated more women than men.
More women than men? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cool.
I've been with
more chicks.
The public only knows about 3 long-term relationships that I've been in, and they've been with men. The public doesn't know about
why does the public
most
need to
of
know
the relationships
this?
I've been in.
Well, the irony is she's telling everybody now.
I
love lesbians.
I wouldn't consider myself bisexual because I've dated more than just men and women.
Huh?
I've dated a man that had a vagina. You know, like I've dated, you know, and it's like, so it has nothing to do with what's in your pants. It has nothing
to
do with
your... Is she doing this purposefully?
XY chromosome makeup is.
I think a lot of the stuff she does is purposefully.
Oh my God. Idiot.
She's a total moron. Honestly.
Okay, we get it. You're a guy.
It's a good hate watch.
I have to admit, I will watch it. Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsnd.com, all pumped. The community, customers, Zot team, excited to be back at full strength, safely serving you and your automotive needs. Sales and service continue to be busy as ever. Their new delivery truck, they're excited to deliver your dreams to your driveway. And for those who don't want to go in or don't want to have contact, mask or otherwise, well, now it's all mask because the mask law started Monday, today, right? Isn't the mask law mandatory mask?
You know what? I don't know.
I think executive order?
I heard it was coming, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, yeah, they follow all the safety protocols. During Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event, feel free to go online, enjoy their enhanced online shopping experience, and check out their unprecedented deals like the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Big Horn for only $188 a month. If you love Jeeps, how about the 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass? It's just $155 a month, and there's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And Wrangler, get Zot employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of now, you have to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown has inventory drying up quickly, and that means your best selection is today. So dealsinthed.com, that's the place to go. Also, Luke Nowacki, that's another good place to go if you need help. And I needed Luke's help because of the tax situation. So, in fact, I'm waiting to make a... Luke, you know, the idea with taxes, just avoid all you possibly can. And unfortunately, I don't have the ability to make shell companies like some of these billionaires do, but there are little things you can do here and there. And in fact, I'm putting money in a retirement fund for the second year in a row because it reduced my tax bite.
An SEP IRA?
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an SEP IRA. Luke could tell you, but... anyway, that's when you need people like this, like Luke Nowacki, when you need help at doing the right thing, doing something that maybe saves or makes you a little money, 248-663-4748, and having a plan, a financial plan for your future so you don't outlive your money. Your 401k investments, who are they with? Why? What's your goal? Are you looking for heavy growth or are you looking to be conservative? And should you be looking to be either one of those ways? Maybe it's a 529 for the kids' college. Luke Nowacki has a team, and they look to build a financial future for you or help you build the future that you're already building. 248-663-4748, Security Investment Advisory Services, offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Line Associates, separately and other entities in our marketing names, product service, reference here. Independent Royal Line Associates Incorporated, 248-663-4748 for Luke, or L. Nowacki at PinnacleWealthStrategies.com.
Just reading about the mask order here, it's not really nothing different, although they have the fear of we could charge $500.
Yeah.
But you know what the good thing it does is it actually relieves the businesses from having to get shit for it.
I wonder if it will, though. It seems that people are just mad because they're mad because they're mad.
But I mean, now a business can go, hey, state law, not our decision.
You know, I asked a couple people in Royal Oak about that topic because, and it seems like there's so many people upset about masks. And honestly, the reaction I got was, no, really don't see that much. But whenever it happens, when someone is a jackass and someone has a phone, of course, everyone sees it.
You're right. It's few and far between. And, I think most people just go along with it.
There was also the young lady who pulled the gun on the woman that she supposedly bumped into in Troy, and they had the big altercation, and you're
Lake
racist.
Orion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Lake Orion.
Oh, Lake Orion, yeah. And she said that she was definitely, she feared this woman. When they banged on the car, she feared that, you know, they were facing some possible altercation, I guess. And I don't know if that's a strategy. I suspect she was fearful because I don't know why else she would do that.
Said that when we first saw the video, of course she was scared.
But that's, I think that's but a defense, too.
But the question is, are you in fear of imminent danger and that's why you pulled your gun?
Well, when you look at people like George Zimmerman, I mean.
Yeah.
And he pulled the trigger.
He was getting his shit kicked out of him, though.
The one thing that she pointed out that I, and the person who was doing the story pointed out, was that she is begging her to get away from her. And in fact, she doesn't really get away from her. Even when she pulls the gun, she's like, ooh!
I know, that's the amazing thing.
It's really bizarre.
I said before that there's that one shot where she's got the gun pointed at the lady and the girl's filming too. And so the shot is her with the gun pointed at the girl with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, is that not 2020 perfectly? A gun pulled on a cell phone camera?
It's so bizarre, all that is going on, which we'll get into. I just hate starting the show with it because I feel like it never ends.
Why, did something happen this week?
A couple little things. And let's see, where was I going? I wanted to mention one more thing in the entertainment world. Oh, the Polka Doc on Netflix is pretty good.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
The Man Who Would Be King, Polka King?
Yeah, Polka King. And it's just a great story about a guy from, let's see, he's from behind the Iron Curtain.
Yeah, Poland.
And he came to Canada, and then he moved over to Pennsylvania, a big Polish neighborhood, too, in the early 70s, as so many Polish people were in that particular part of Pennsylvania. And so this polka thing just takes off, and he's an entertaining guy. He's a real, he's got that it thing. The problem is polka just isn't that big. I don't know how big he can get, but I won't give it away. Just trust me. It's worth watching. It takes a pretty interesting twist, in my opinion, and I thought it was worth watching. The other thing about entertainment I wanted to mention was, did you guys happen to see the story about Hollywood and reverse racism?
No. Yeah. Are they're mad about not enough white people getting movies made? Is that what it is?
Well, the complaint is that the pendulum has swung too far, and certain ads were cited, and certain quotes from producers, directors, and studios were cited where they are openly looking for anything but a white man.
Oh, well, they can fix it. They fixed everything else.
I know.
Why are we supposed to care or worry about
it? I just thought it was hilarious seeing Hollywood say the same things that everyone else has been saying for years. When all they say is that this is terrible, you're terrible, you and you, you're all terrible, and we're here to fix you.
Is it really that hard to have a white man? I mean, I just watched Tom Hanks ride a boat for an hour and a half over the weekend.
Honestly, that's the first thing I thought of was I just read this when you told me the Tom Hanks movie was such a big deal and the Andy Samberg movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, well,
maybe that's just me being white and watching white stuff.
Well, they are talking about getting stuff made now, and Jordan Peele, I guess, some of this was stirred up because he said that he is looking for, let's see, how did he say it? Let me quote it.
Slow down.
He's not looking for a white leading man, and then said, I've seen that movie.
Yeah, and his movies are good, and that's fine, and it has an audience, so what's the problem?
Because a lot of directors, producers, writers, they are not looking for white people right now. They're looking for not white people. In fact, they have a term for it, BIPOC. They're hiring BIPOC, black, indigenous, people of color.
You know what the problem is?
No one cares about the whites.
And also, the directors do not have say in terms of who they hire because they're under orders to hire LGBT, people of color, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason that it interests me is because here's Hollywood telling us, you know, sure, how terrible we are for all this time. And now they're going, oh, but they didn't want to go this far.
They're a victim of their own belief system, too, in that, you know, what works best for a movie? Putting a very popular actor in who's been in other movies. Would I have watched Greyhound if Tom Hanks was in it? I don't know.
Would you have watched it had you known Chet Hanks was in it?
Oh, 100%.
Exactly.
For a different reason. But, I didn't really watch it because Tom Hanks was in it, but I knew that it would probably be a big blockbuster. Because
that's what I see when I see Tom Cruise. I don't like Tom Cruise, but every one of his movies comes out, and it's like, I might as well check it out because I can tell you right now, he probably made a good decision to be in this film because the films of the past have been great.
You know what I watched yesterday?
I was listening to a podcast that was talking about, do you know what the Blacklist is in Hollywood?
Yeah, there's a movie about it.
Oh, really?
I mean, the old Blacklist, new Blacklist.
No, it's
the
a new one. It's basically the list of scripts, movie scripts that everybody's buzzing about. And the way it started was because this guy, you know, this guy had to read a ton of movie scripts for Leonardo DiCaprio to find the new one. And he didn't want to pick a movie that was, you know, kind of pigeonholed for Leo. He wanted to find something a little different. But it's really hard to do that because the studios just want to keep making the same movie over.
Yeah, they want to make money.
And over. So he kind of crowdsourced it with other people that, you know, did the job that he did for other studios. And they spread this spreadsheet around and it became an actual well-known blacklist of popular scripts. And the idea is it takes that whole thinking of, you know, big movie producer, big director, big actor out of it because they know that Hollywood will keep churning out the same movies with the same directors and same actors.
Well, they want to make money. And if
I know, so that's what I mean. They're a victim of their own success.
If they're going to throw out,
there's no chances.
White male actors, which is what the article implies, that if you're a middle-aged white actor, that your days are really limited, if not over. And they do have some other quotes too.
Tell Brad Pitt that.
Just a struggling actor with a thick.
Anna DuVernay says, "We have a right."
Ava,
okay. I don't even know who she is, by the way. Who is she? Is she an actress?
Filmmaker.
Big time, yeah.
Okay. She said, and this quote, just, I don't know how anyone cannot feel just cringy about this quote. "We have a right not to hire those who diminish us."
Okay.
So white people are diminishing you? Well, first of all, you're a big filmmaker, so no one's really diminishing you.
Yeah.
When you say us, at least don't say us. But is Tom Hanks, is he really trying to diminish other people by seeking success in his career?
Although the main black guy in his movie, Grant, well, I won't see what happens.
And then she says, she's like, it's one of these like, ha ha, bias goes both ways. This is 2020. Bias goes both ways. If bias going any way is not right, it seems to me what they're saying is, hey, we're going to screw people, but this is what you deserve. This is what you asked for. This is what we're supposed to do now. So too bad. No, I thought that we're supposed to, at a minimum,
I would
try to hire the best person.
I would think the vast majority of people that like to watch movies aren't thinking about any of this.
No, they're not.
This seems like an internal argument that Hollywood is having with itself.
I had an interesting conversation with someone about music.
Music.
And music, and I don't care who makes the music. I really, really don't. If I like it, I like it. And when I was, you know, growing up and my tastes were being formed, people like Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, and on and on.
That's where I grew up, and that's where I'm going to be.
The first time I heard Michael Jackson, I thought he was a black guy.
I know a lot of people were fooled. But anyway, this person was arguing that...
That was a good joke.
I think we have talked about this before, that white people appear to be more open-minded about any kind of music than anyone because, you know, white people tend to always, well, first of all, you can just look at Motown and some of the stars, and when people start complaining that, you know, the Grammys are not fair and all that. And when you look at the top Grammy winners, African Americans have done very well with Grammys. It's like five of the top 12 people. Kanye West has 22 Grammys, I think. Drake's got a bunch. I think Aretha Franklin has the most. Mm. So in the world of music, it's almost, it's kind of like sports. If you're good, nobody's gonna look to cheat you. I don't think anyone's looking to, oh, her music's great, but she's black. Get her out of here. Yeah. I don't want to sell any records.
Yeah.
And
guess that's all the whites can hope for these days.
Anyway, the person I wasn't an argument, just a conversation, was saying, what's up with Sly Stone and Jimi Hendrix? Why aren't they more popular with black people? And why is rock and roll not popular with black people? And I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe they just don't like it. Which was not taken very well. But white people do accept music of...
Only when Eminem's doing it.
White people love hip-hop. They love rap.
Well, yeah. That is the pop music today.
And so, you know, for people to say that, you know, that there's this discrimination is just everywhere, every level, you know, systemic, everything. It's no, there are a lot of places where there's a very fair shake being made. But what this person was trying to egg me into was an argument suggesting that black people are discriminatory in their musical choices. And I just didn't want to have the conversation. Because it's like, how could you ever prove that?
Discriminatory?
Yeah, because they don't like rock and roll. They don't even like black rock and rollers.
Okay. I don't know. Well, sure.
Honestly,
okay,
they,
great.
I think that the statement is not terribly untrue. Jimi Hendrix is... How many black people does he talk about Jimi Hendrix? Or Chuck Berry? Or I think Chuck Berry was a white thing, wasn't he? Really?
Chuck Berry?
Yeah.
Chuck Berry's just blues and rock and roll and
well, what he's best known for though are, you know, he had a lot of hit records too back in the day. I mean, he really perfected the 3-minute rock and roll hit song.
Yeah,
and his phrasing was incredible.
But how many people today even know Chuck Berry songs?
Well, you know, that's hard to say. I don't know now, but I got the impression that he was very much loved by white audiences. And you know, maybe that's just the nature of demographics that, you know, I think I told the story about Elsie and Margaret in my office at Stone Container, who said, we snuck out to see Little Richard. Mm-hmm. My daddy would have killed me if he knew I went to see Little Richard. And, you know, she was talking about all the white girls going crazy at the Little Richard concert and just how that was just not supposed to happen in the late 50s.
Well, remember, he's not a very threatening black guy either, so... I mean, he even mentioned that.
Well, I don't think that's why they liked Little Richard.
I know, but that's the thinking as to why he was so accepted. He even said that himself.
Yeah, I know. He did as far as his...
Interesting.
I remember, I just was reading about that when he died.
Yeah.
But for Little Richard and for other people at that time who were, you know, their music was sanitized by white people like, what's his name, Pat Boone. And who had bigger hits with a lot of those songs. And they were terrible versions. But there was a lot of systemic activity going on in the record business. But I think that ended very quickly when suddenly there were certain people who could just not be reproduced by white people. And they were truly spectacular in and of their own right. But it is interesting. I mean, the Jimi Hendrix...
So black
really,
people,
that's a hard one to. So, I cannot figure out why he's not a monster with black people.
But does that explain why black people like Eminem?
Black people.
I mean, if the person's saying they only listen to black music and black people that do black music, Eminem's got a very huge fan base that's black, white and black.
Well, does his music sound black?
Well, I don't know what that sounds. I don't hear color. No, it sounds like hip-hop and rap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white rappers.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really subscribing to the argument. I just thought it was an interesting discussion because Jimi Hendrix, I thought, was the best example. You know, Prince, everyone loved Prince. Mm-hmm. Everyone loved Prince. Everyone loved Michael Jackson. Jimi Hendrix, though, it seems like it's really
Prince
a
R&B
white thing.
Is Prince R&B or is Prince rock? I don't know. Or is it because the genius of
Prince
him that
is,
he crossed over?
I
could always consider him rock, but there's a lot of R&B in there.
Oh, absolutely. But Prince, in the end, he wrote popular music.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote songs everybody liked.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can go. It depends on what you're talking about with Prince. If you're talking about Purple Rain, if you're talking about Little Red Corvette, if you're talking about 1999, if you're talking about Nothing Compares to You, and, you know, those hit records, those were hits.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it all. And Prince was one of a kind.
Did you know Eminem put out a new album or a new song this weekend with Kid Cudi?
And people, I did.
He's very pro mask. That is my takeaway of it.
Why does Eminem want to write a song about masks?
No, it's not. It's just there's just a line or two in there, and yeah,
that just sounds so un-Eminem though. Eminem, if you think that if he was going to write a song about masks, it would be. I'm not wearing a.
It's not a song.
Mask.
It's not a song about masks. It's just a line or two in there.
Is it going to make sense in 5 years?
I don't know if he really cares.
Obviously not.
Probably not. I mean, I don't think we're going to forget about coronavirus in 5 years.
For some reason, I don't like Eminem when he's being preachy. I like Eminem.
Okay, I shouldn't have said it that way. There's really only like two or three lines in the.
Well, no, I'm not just talking about that song. He's written some preachy stuff recently, whether it's about Trump or I don't know. It just seemed for one, it seemed too easy, and for another, Eminem's the guy that wanted to kill his wife.
Yeah.
And a lot of other, I mean, I like that crazy Eminem. I'm not saying that I can't accept him in any other form. I can like anything by Eminem.
I like his wordplay. I think his wordplay is so fucking good.
Yeah, no, he's a great writer. He is. I just, when I feel like he's preaching, I just feel a little.
It's crazy, you know though. Look how old he is, and he's white, and he's working in popular music, and the guy's still fucking popular as hell. He's still the best out there. That's what's crazy about
it. What kind of, like, with his new song, how long has it been out?
Oh, he just dropped
it. 3 days?
Yeah.
Well, how many streams does it have?
That's a great question. It's technically not even his song. It's Kid Cudi went to rehab and just hasn't made music in a while. And he actually put something out online that said, I could really use Rap God Eminem right about now. And Lil Wayne put him in connection with each other, and they did a song. That's crazy. His verse is the second one, Brandon, if you want to.
5.6 million views. 5.6.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
How long does it take for Eminem to start?
He's had about halfway.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
I'm gonna be the first one who can beat it. I had hoop dreams, now I shoot threes. Got a little green, but I don't do weed.
Yeah, it's interesting. He talks about how he doesn't do drugs anymore at all.
Preaching!
I don't care if you do them.
Does it sound like Eminem?
No. Oh, very laid back version. But you hate us, a butt hurt, bunch of sore hind ends. I was just a poor white kid. Now if rap was beatball, I think we went by the fuck Drew Brees line too.
Fuck Drew Brees? Really? If I was on the floor, I'd switch. Switch. But I cannot lie, I got you in my top five
worst rappers of all time. I lost my spot, y'all got all time. King of rap, nah, their words. That is a catchy tune. Mine. King of swear words and not lying. You should never compare yours.
A toll free number, only way you'll ever have a hotline. I don't think it's to me my favorite song.
Well, no, but you don't like that kind of music.
I like some Eminem's music. He's got a song on Y95 was playing it. Actually, it's funny, I was going on with Mojo.
Q95.
And so.
Isn't even that now? Isn't it Channel 955?
Yeah, it's Channel 955.
I feel like they change it every year.
It's the Planet 95.
I was listening to Mojo because I was about to go on, and I wasn't sure how long it was, and I was in the car because I didn't want to use the Wi-Fi in the house. And I left the station on 955. So that Eminem song came out when I was in the car later in the day, and I was like, God damn, I love that song. It was on the last album.
Was it?
I can't even think of
The very last one?
Yeah, the one before.
The one where they sampled the
probably it was
Squire?
It would have been around the time Mike Clark died.
Huh.
Did he have a 2018 album?
He had an album, yeah.
I think it's Berserk.
Is it 2018?
That's the one with Squire, isn't it, Berserk?
Billy, wait. My Beloved Billy Squire?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a great song. Isn't that when he appeared on the Michigan Notre Dame game? He was promoting this album. He's had albums since then. That's why you like it, because Squire's in it.
God, I hate that song.
Makes a cool beat, though. Huh?
Why can't I get the whole album to come up?
You'd have Music to Be Murdered By, but I don't know if...
Is there a 2018 album?
Yeah.
What's is that called? Berserk?
Kamikaze is that whole, is the whole album.
That might be it. Like Kamikaze.
Okay. Are you talking about the Venom song for the movie Venom?
Venom, Kamikaze. Lucky You.
Why they would be playing that. Can we just call Mojo? He might know.
Oh, is it called Fall?
Yeah.
Was that a song?
That's a song.
Play Fall. It's just like one beat. I was digging this. I was really I was cranking it on my phone for about 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember this one.
Yeah, boy.
This doesn't sound very familiar.
Oh, it's got a 45-minute intro. Great.
Fuck.
Yeah, boy.
Nope. I don't think that's a song. He goes... What song am I thinking of, damn it?
I have no idea.
Oh, wait. Keep playing. Or have his body back and zip the closest thing he's had to hit to smacking bitches. And don't make me have to give it back to academics. Say this shit is trash again. I'll have you twisted like you had it when you thought you had me slipping at the telly. Even when I'm getting brain, you'll never catch
you
me.
You do think it's
lacking with it.
I'm surprised they'd be playing this in the morning.
I turned it on. It's still on later in the day.
Oh, I see.
They don't really play music.
That's right. I don't know. Eminem's a fascinating guy to me.
That's it. I'm pretty sure.
Talk about a guy that's changed and grown over the years.
Yeah, no, he's...
Where is he? You never see him out and about or around?
I don't expect him to still want to kill Kim.
What?
I don't. Maybe some people do, but I don't.
Where is he? I want to talk to him.
I never really thought he was going to kill Kim.
So, let me get some coffee, and then I'm just going to talk about Friday. And
there's some other stuff first.
Craziness.
Did you see OJ having a blast for his birthday party weekend in Vegas?
I did not.
He's walking through a nightclub.
He's starting to bore me, honestly.
What?
Yeah, a little bit.
I can't, boy. I'll kill somebody then. That'll get you interested.
Oh, you're right.
What if OJ goes and murders somebody just to get Drew Lane interested in him again?
Well, he's got to do what he's got to do sometimes.
Let me see if I can find the video. It's just him walking through a club for his birthday.
I'm just bored of his posts. It's like blah, 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 blah.
You know what I mean?
It's always just full of audacity, but...
That's juice. You gotta admit, he's on brand.
He's very much on brand.
Okay, here he is, just walking to the club. Who do you think he's going for in the club here?
Oh, probably a white girl.
Oh, what do you know?
And where are the white women at?
She put her mask on as soon as he got close.
But she did give him a big hug with her big titties. I will say, though... There's not that many people, like, coming up to him and kissing his ass. I mean, he's making eyes at that chick. He points at him.
That chick, too.
The DJ, yeah. But, I mean, there's really nobody's fawning over him, which must just destroy him.
Yeah,
nothing like a 73-year-old in the club, huh?
Well, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right, OJ.
Why is he
73 years old? I missed out on some years. I got to relive my childhood like Michael Jackson's.
I was in a big house for a while, organizing the rec leagues. That's right. I got to get out and hit some white chicks. Got to make up for 8 years.
I just want to see more video from that night, because who was he with? Who was he hanging with? What's he doing? The NBA's making some news, too.
About?
Well, they're in their bubble now, getting ready for the season.
Oh, they are in the bubble? They're going to stay in the bubble?
And they're already whining about, yeah, because they return July 30th, and they're already whining about the food that they're getting.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're...
You know, why do they do this? It's just such a bad idea.
J.R. Smith was on Instagram Live showing off some of the snacks going, you want us to eat this shit?
Oh, yeah. NBA players have it so bad.
Exactly. Can't they just order some food
in?
And then not only that, but listen to this other great perk they have in the bubble. They get to go to Disney World attractions after hours. They're going to have special... access to rides and attractions at the park, which just opened up over the weekend. So my question is,
is that
really living in the bubble?
No, it's not living in the bubble. And how the fuck is Disney open, by the way?
Because they don't care. They don't need to make money, man. Those,
it seems
those
like a bad idea. I was reading about the whole, you know, the social justice choices they have to put on their jerseys instead of their name.
Yeah.
And LeBron comes right out and says, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because he says that... the message doesn't resonate with my mission.
My mission and my goal.
What's your mission?
I think his mission and goal is to sell a lot of jerseys that say James 23. But honestly, if he had a jersey that said Black Lives Matter 23, that would sell so much.
I don't need to have something on my jersey for people to know what I'm about. It's almost like he's offended by it.
Yeah.
So I swear, I was just thinking about, I was trying to imagine somebody calling a game with all these, because they said 280 players are going to be choosing from I Can't Breathe.
Did you see the list of
Breonna Taylor?
Did you see the list of approved words or a lot of, yeah, which kind of also defeats the whole point of putting a message
I honestly
there,
was picturing
when they're approved.
I was thinking of like play by play, like an and I Can't Breathe, dribble left, dribble right, turns to use a pick from ACAB, all cops are bastards, sees George Floyd alone in the corner, Floyd fakes and bounces too, no justice, no peace.
How many players are going to use the group?
Slips into Breonna Taylor, she's dunked on! Dunked on by how many more?
And boom goes the dynamite.
But we got a foul on Say Her Name.
why is group economics one of the approved phrases? Who's going to put group economics on the back of their jersey or education reform or I am a man?
Why? I mean, there's no this message is not in short supply. Honestly, I don't think any of these things are going to be forgotten anytime soon. I suspect that when this happens,
this is just like
and people
NFL.
Start watching the games, they're going to be in some people will think it's great, I'm sure. There's going to be a number of people go, oh, fuck, are you kidding?
Oh, 100%. This is like the NFL trying to cure societal ills.
Yeah, the NFL with the national anthem, with the kneeling, with the black national anthem. It's all going to take us right back to, what is 2017 or whatever that stupid year was when people were just all upset.
It just seems pandering to me. What do
well,
I know?
Here's,
if it makes
the thing.
Feel better, fine.
You know, when I saw the DeSean Jackson post and the reaction that his the cousin of George
Stephen
Floyd
Jackson.
Had. What's his name?
Stephen Jackson.
Stephen Jackson. I was like, you know what? I don't take you seriously anymore. I really don't. You cannot be that sincere and not realize what you've just said.
Yep.
That is insane. And that doesn't mean that I don't believe there isn't a problem with racism or with police or anything, but I just don't take you seriously because you think it's okay to say something about Jewish people that blows my fucking mind.
Mitch Elbaum laid a big old leg drop on them today.
I thought his column was pretty good.
It was pretty good. And he was writing about exactly what I was talking about, the fact that no one is talking about how it's the most underwhelming response to anti-Semitism I've ever seen, because the anti-Semitism is like, wow. Mm. And trust me, I was exposed to plenty of this as a kid because there were a lot of Jewish people at my high school was Neutra East. Neutra West was like 90% Jewish.
Oh, really?
And so I'm not going to tell you what Neutra West was called by a lot of people at Neutra East, but. Anyway, new. Rhymes with new.
Oh, well. Is that that bad?
It could have been worse. I mean, believe me, I could run a lot of them by you.
Stuck in your memory.
There were not many black people at either school, and there were never problems with black people or people saying stupid shit to black people. But with Jewish people, there were so many more Jewish people that that you would hear a lot of anti-Semitic comments. I mean, I just got used to it.
Because they were the majority.
They weren't the majority. They were the majority of the people at the top. They were the majority of the people at the top of the class, for one thing, which a lot of people didn't like.
I just don't like the I don't like any of it, but I really don't like the conspiracy theories that Stephen Jackson's throwing out there in his response about the Rothschilds.
No, it's embarrassing. Stupid. It's so pathetic. It's like you just completely took yourself out of this. I have no interest in what you have to say anymore because you're a joke.
I would agree with that.
As far as I'm concerned, you are worse than almost anyone you're talking that you're complaining about.
Well, he's as bad with thoughts like that.
And it's funny how this, you know, people think that this should all be fixed or we're all going to fix it. And then Cardi B comes out and says somebody has chinky eyes.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you see that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was, I think it was on Saturday.
What, are people mad at her? Or just
well, they were just saying, hey, Cardi B, are you serious?
Well, good.
And Cardi B, I got to get her response because it was kind of.
Was it on Instagram? I think Did she take a fart?
I think it was on Instagram. I don't know if she took a fart or not.
It was on Twitter. Because I saw her say, I didn't know.
Yeah, she said she didn't know.
I didn't know that saying chinky eyes was a slur. Like, what the F?
Yeah, she was
I don't know everything. We don't even use that shit as an insult, and I didn't use it as an insult. I'm sick of the internet.
It seems to be, I think her response is like the Jimmy Kimmel response, which is like, I just was looking like Karl Malone. The muscles, the skin color, they're all the same to me. And she's saying, you know, it wasn't an insult because I didn't mean it as an insult. So I think it's almost like, wait a second. That's kind of what I hear from a lot of other people who are getting the shit pounded out of them for wearing blackface in 1981. You know, and Megyn Kelly, oh, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't know about this. Oh, yes, you did. But and her high school class signed some stupid document saying, we all knew exactly what blackface was.
The one problem with Cardi B's argument is that she was specifically referring to the eyes.
Right.
So what else could she possibly
have done? Here's the thing is, you know what, Cardi B, I think she's a pretty good, I kind of like her.
I do too.
I really don't have a problem with her. And I think what she's expressing is what a lot of white people would like to express when they've stuck their foot in their mouth.
Yeah.
Or they said something and they didn't realize, oh, shit. So I thought her answer, her response was very sincere.
Yeah.
But
I'm scared.
This is the problem. Cardi B has a shield. And these other people don't have shields. And so when they say something dumb in the moment and they go, oh, fuck, it's like, nope, you're done. No way out. This is going to live on.
Guess what, guys? I got to take a fart.
But I think she will be forgiven. And I think, you know,
sure.
I think she's being sincere. I really do. I don't think she meant to hurt anyone. And I don't think a lot of people mean to hurt people. It's just that some people... when this opinionator from the Washington Post said, you're lucky we don't want revenge. She's like, no, that's not true because a lot of people do want revenge and they just attack when it's certain people. They want them canceled, finished, jobless, doxed, you name it. And I noticed on Friday there was a big response because this guy who is the president of Goya, and I've never heard of Goya in my life.
Really?
He's the most... I don't even know what it is. What is it?
They make Mexican
black beans.
Beans and food and, you know, canned stuff that people can cook with.
Well, he's a Hispanic guy, and he's...
This is bullshit.
One of the most successful Hispanic entrepreneurs in the United States of America. It's like a $3 billion company. And anyway, he made some comments about Trump as a good leader, and I think he said he voted for Trump, too.
Yeah.
So well, immediately...
Wasn't he at the White House?
Yeah, he was at the White House. Yeah. He was invited to the White House for the second time, by the way. Obama invited him, too.
Yeah.
And immediately, Chrissy Teigen, AOC, you know, the usual suspects, I'll say, Boya Goya. How clever. What a cute hashtag. Boycott Goya.
Oh. And sense. I just had to ask what it meant.
And so. When Lin-Manuel Miranda jumped into the fray, I'm like, hey, wait a second. You're the guy making all the money off slavery. I mean, isn't it?
Oh, you're
the guy that had the late guy, apology.
The guy making all the money off of slavery.
He is.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think he's the right person to go after a successful Hispanic business person for, you know, what do they want him to do? Go to the White House and go, you know what? President Trump is a fucking racist asshole, and this country's going down the tube. He's at the White House.
Yep.
Or I guess he should have just turned it down and said, fuck him. I'm not going to the White House. I mean... People who would never even act this way or would do anything different imply that, you know, oh, here's what I would have done.
They wouldn't. And you know what? Goya is so popular and so big. Nothing's going
to
happen.
And these things, what tends to happen is it's a reverse boycott anyway. People who normally wouldn't buy buying it just in spite of the other side.
Look, I just learned what it is. I didn't even know what it was.
That's so white of you.
And
Jorge Masvidal, I got to find it, but his response, that UFC guy had a really good response to the whole thing about, like, knock this shit off.
Honestly, I wanted to
he's a good follower.
Sometimes I just want to strangle somebody, and this is when I start just listening. I just start playing music really loud. I read the story today about Ford employees who wrote 100 of them right to Ford management saying, can we not make vehicles for police?
Oh, come on.
Not make vehicles for police. So you want Ford to give up a significant profit center and production center because why? because the police are out to murder you, right? Is that what you're trying to say? So Jim Hackett, because there's nothing else he can do, he writes, this is how dumb it's gotten, he writes employees, is it a good idea, given the spotlight on social justice and police reform, for Ford to deliver police vehicles? So are you going to give the business to GM? Are you going to give the business to Chrysler? Or are we just not going to have police vehicles anymore? We're going to have to live with old cars for a while. Oh, man. To be an officer right now, honest to God. I was amazed, truly. I would think Ford employees, first of all, would realize, I mean, I think most people at the Big Three are very appreciative of their jobs because they've seen tough times and they've seen jobs go by the wayside. But no. And I don't know who the 100 employees were that wrote. Maybe they're all minority employees. 100. I don't know. What's that?
It's 100 employees.
Yeah, I said 100.
Yeah, no, 100.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Big
out
deal.
Of how many? I don't know. So, all right.
Here's what Masvidal wrote about Goya. He said, the actions of Goya food speak way louder than the woke mob. My people don't get influenced by those that don't know. They've been helping our people when we needed it most. And then he just links a story of all the charitable shit the guy's done.
Oh, two tons of food to food banks in the last month?
Yeah. And he gave a lot of money to Puerto Rico.
It's just interesting. I cannot believe the people who are so quick.
Puerto Rico.
So quick to say, cancel him, boycott him. No fucking idea who this guy is, what he's done, what kind of person he is. He said one thing and that's enough. No, yep. You're allowed to say you voted for someone.
Yep.
You're allowed to explain why you feel that the term all lives matter is not such a horrible thing. And I keep hearing, oh, all lives matter. Hey, next thing you'll tell me you have a black friend. Oh, God. You can say all lives matter. It's not intended. And Don Lemon got in this argument with Terry Crews. Terry Crews is concerned that Black Lives Matter is becoming a negative thing, or it has the potential to be a negative thing. And I don't think Terry Crews is exactly wrong myself. So Don Lemon has him on. He's like, oh, you sure you want to die on this hill?
He's such a dope.
So he says, he explains that, well, Don, you know, I'm out here, and I hear what a lot of people say, is that saying Black Lives Matter and ignoring the fact about what's going on in neighborhoods, it sounds kind of crazy. I mean, am I paraphrasing it correctly?
That's pretty much what he said.
And Don Lemon says, oh, no. That's not BLM. BLM is just one thing. It's people murdered by the police. So, no, don't bring that up. That's not part of this. If you want to start something on your own, it's like, but don't you realize what those three words mean? When you say those three words, and you can't just apply them to one thing and say, you can't even think about the other thing. Not allowed to do that. Well, a lot of people do. I hear it all the time. And as soon as they do, by the way, they're the biggest assholes. How dare you? How dare you complicate the issue? Well, when you say Black Lives Matter, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. And one thing, it's difficult, I think, for some people not to think about all the black-on-black crime. And to suggest that, you know, that the biggest problem in the black community is police murdering people, murdering black people. Yeah, it is a problem, but it's not that big a problem. And I wish, I mean, I feel like all perspective has been lost. And on Friday, we saw it firsthand in Detroit. I got to heat up my coffee. I'm just going to take a little break.
Okay. Did you guys? I can lighten up the mood before we jump into that.
Oh, you got a borderline?
I don't have a borderline, but I do have cameos because there's some great ones.
New ones?
And I need to get them out.
All right. Go through.
I'll leave during the cameo commercial.
The cameo.
All right.
The 9-minute cameo commercial.
Break out your wallets because there are some brand new
Ahmad
people on
Rashad.
Cameo. Celebrities. I'm talking stars here. That if you just throw them a couple dollars, they'll get you a personalized message.
What's the first thing you think of when you think of Ahmad Rashad?
When I think of Ahmad Rashad, I think of two things. One, the Saturday morning basketball show that he would have, and I really enjoyed it. And two, he was, wasn't he
Felicia
banging Mrs.
Rashad.
Huxtable or
something? It was Felicia Rashad's husband.
Okay.
That's like the first thing I think of. I don't know why. People forget that he actually played in the NFL for a long time.
He did?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know that? You really didn't know that?
No, I really didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a Vikings wide receiver. He was just so
ingrained with basketball that I thought...
Yeah, that you just thought he was a broadcaster, yeah.
But I do see that on his Cameo bio, which also states that he's all about peace, love, and happiness, that he did play for the Arizona Cardinals and Minnesota Vikings.
Is he still married to Mrs. Huxtable?
I don't know. I'm not going to check. But if you want, you can give him $50 and he'll answer that question.
I think he's pricing himself way too low.
Me too, because we're going to go along. We're gonna, you know, and remember, as it gets more expensive, the more famous that person is, there's no substitute.
Modern shot, the next 44 is, career touchdowns. Bloop.
The next one is Jay Chandrasekhar. Basically, oh, yeah. It's Ramathorn.
Brown Magic.
From Super Troopers. Yeah, yeah. He's the dude who is kind of the director of all those broken lizards.
Yeah.
$75 for Ramathorn. I'm sure he gets a lot of Team Ramrod ones. That's a bargain. All right, next up, Louie Anderson.
What, Louie? $150 bucks.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Happy, happy birthday to every girl and boy. I hope this very special day brings you lots of joy. I hope the birthday present you get from all your friends makes this very special day seem like it'll never end. Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you, Louie.
Amanda and Louie Anderson wish you the happiest of birthdays.
Well, that's money worth it.
Yeah. Louie Anderson, $149.
Oh, man, he can make so much more.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Who else?
That's a good one. So next up is Larry Robinson, NHL Hall of Famer, yeah. Montreal Canadiens, 10-time Stanley Cup champion.
$219.
He is way more famous than Louie Anderson.
Oh, are you going up in price?
Yeah, you go up in price, that's the more famous.
Nice sales pitch. Me. Okay.
Yes, yes. So up next, we got Lee Majors.
Yeah, who I murdered not that long ago. I thought he was dead.
Oh, we had the $6 million man.
I thought sure he had died. $300. Oh, that's right. He was in Ash vs. Evil. The Fall Guy, too. I love The Fall Guy.
Lee Majors is $299.
Oh boy. Who
on
else?
Cameo. So it's getting expensive. Up next is, yes, the entire
what?
Wu-Tang Clan.
Peace, good up, y'all. You got the RZA right here from the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm proud to announce that the Wu-Tang Clan has joined Cameo. I know a lot of people out there, you know, especially during this quarantine time, you can't have access to your favorite artists. And sometimes
you can when coronavirus isn't going on?
Family members. So we have joined Cameo, so you can reach out to me, to RZA, Method Man, Ghostface Killah, Raekwon, the Chef, Inspector Deck, U-Guard, Capadonna, Master Killah, you know what I mean, the GZA, any one of us, yo. And,
any one of them. So it's you don't even get to pick who you get? Because my luck, you'd pay all that money and get, you know, stuck with U-Guard. You know what he wants? You got everyone wants Meth the Man or the RZA.
$360 for the Wu-Tang Clan. As we go up, there's only three more, and these are very, very three expensive cameos. Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, ouch!
$999.
Oh, he doesn't even have one, does he?
He does not have one purchase.
He's not going to get any Richard Dreyfuss. Oh, I feel bad for him. Is he just washed up now?
He was great in What About Bob?
Yeah, 30 years ago.
What was that? Mr. Holland's Opus was pretty sweet,
that
wasn't
was 50
it?
50 years ago.
Oh, what about, was it Jaws?
Now you're talking 90 years ago. At the dawn
didn't
of
he play
film.
Some famous person recently?
He has four movies coming out in 2019. Or had four movies coming out in 2019 that no one knows. I'm looking at his list right here. I don't know any of these films. He was in W. He played Dick Cheney in W in 2008.
That's what he played, Dick Cheney.
That was 12 years ago.
Hi, Richard.
But he's been in a ton of stuff since then, just none of it worth a shit. Oh, I'm sorry. In the 2020, he was in the Great British Bake Off. Nice. Classy.
Okay.
Classy.
All right. Well, next up we have... looks like we go into the boxing world where Floyd Mayweather, this actually hit last week, but we never talked about it. Floyd Mayweather, who he's only worth $500 million. So he needs your $999 so he can send you a cameo.
Why isn't he canceled? He's a wife beater or a girl beater.
Oh, that doesn't matter in the Cameo world.
Cameo family in fact, doesn't care.
He's already come out to say that he wants to be the first person on Cameo to eclipse the $1 million earnings mark.
God, great.
And now, who do you think would be $1 more expensive than Floyd
Well,
Mayweather?
It was Rodman for a while. Who is it now?
Manny Pacquiao.
And Manny's already done a few. That's what's great.
He is $1,000, and you know that Manny Pacquiao saw that Floyd Mayweather was on there for $999, and he had to be on there for $1,000.
Oh, man, the worst fight in the history of boxing.
You think so?
When those two fought, oh, it was just a bad fight.
Go ahead, play one. I enjoyed the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. Now.
I want to hear Manny.
Hello, Mitch. This is Manny Pacquiao wishing you a wonderful 60th birthday. Your wife loves you so much.
Boring. So, wouldn't you rather spend your money on Louis Anderson?
Yeah, you can get like six Louis Anderson cameos for the price of this dude. But he's a huge star. He's massive, especially over and overseas. So
I saw that story in your prep about Mia Khalifa.
Yes.
Because the last we heard, Mia Khalifa was crying. Well, not crying, but complaining about having 3 months in porn and only making $12,000, yet here she is, you know, the most famous porn star, female porn star that in the mainstream that a lot of people know. And didn't we all call bullshit on those numbers? Like, that just didn't make any sense.
I think we called bullshit, but we didn't know. We couldn't tell at the time. And there's often a lot of stories that you hear about certain actresses getting paid less, especially when they're brand spanking new. But you know, she's been on a tear, I would say, in the last year or maybe even two, where she is trying to distance herself from what made her famous, which is her porn videos. And, you know, she said she was only in porn for 3 months when she was 21 years old. And that was the darkest period of her life. And she also only made $12,000.
And one of the studios she worked for was the Bang Brothers. And unlike Mia Khalifa, they're not taking it lying down because they're so pissed off about this that they've put out a website to say, no, these are the facts. This is what she make, $184,000, and how she was in the industry for 2 years before she even came to Bang Brothers. And I mean, they're just really tearing her argument apart, which
right, because I do think that she was with Bang Bros for that brief period of time. But there was, you know, I've always wondered, hey, if she only did 10 films and she was only in it for 3 months, why do I see so many different videos of her?
All over the place.
Plus, she's taken this and it's become her brand in a sense. She's, you know, she's doing acting roles now. Do you think she'd be doing acting roles if no one heard of her her major successful porn career?
And some of the I mean, she's playing herself too in the one that I saw, and she's joking about being in porn.
But she's doing tons of other media besides that.
They responded by saying the Mia makes many false statements, innuendos, accusations. We've really tried to stay silent and allow Mia to have her publicity stunt without responding. Mia has taken her silence as an all clear, not to continue, but to ramp up her false statements. We therefore have no choice but to respond to the most glaring, objectively false statements. And the following are facts over Mia's fiction. And that's when they say, you know, no, she made $178,000 from us. We paid her that much in the limited time that she was with us and that she was in the industry for well over 2 years before she came to Bang Bros.
You know how much money Bang Bros makes off her videos, though? They have billions of hits.
I know, so. But that's not really the argument.
That's true. No, she's kind of made herself this huge victim. She's constantly posting videos of herself, like where she's, you know, very morose and very, very down just because she's experiencing that regret that you have for a very toxic 3 months that you spent when you were 21 years of age, and everybody wants to bring it up. It's like, yeah, but that's what made you famous. That's why we know who you are.
Full disclosure, when Bang Bros was starting out and they were originally just the Bang Bus,
right?
We interviewed them.
Oh, really?
Like right when they started out, this would have been 98.
Did you interview the MILF Hunter too?
I don't think he was even in existence then. I don't even
Google
know
it. Existed. Google it, kids.
But I remember after that, they had a video out and the sign said something like, "Hi, Drew and Mike," in the background of one of their porns.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
The Bang Bus. And look at what a huge monster the Bang Bros are now.
Yeah.
What are they doing now?
Oh, my God. They're massive. We were just talking about how they kind of just, they can't take it anymore and they had to expose all of Mia Khalifa's lies about how much they paid her and how long she was working in the industry.
Oh.
Brandon sent in his prem. Like that. And you also missed all the new cameos, but there's really only one that is of interest to you, and it's Louis.
Louis C.K.?
No, Louis Anderson.
Oh, Louis Anderson.
Happy,
all right.
Happy birthday to every girl and boy. I hope this very special day brings you lots of joy. I hope the birthday present you get from mom and dad and all your friends makes this very special day seem like it never ends.
Oh.
I'd almost like to get one from him. I want to hear my name coming out of his mouth. I love Louis.
Well, shell out $149 and you can.
Not that bad. Not for Louis. Well, I wanted to get to Friday. Actually, I wanted to put it off as long as I could because Friday was just so frustrating. Charlie was here, and he was doing a show, No BS News. Great show, by the way, which is out there now. A lot of people watched it live on Facebook, but if you do, be sure to download the show, too. And those of you who don't watch the whole thing on Facebook, you're missing a lot. So try to catch the rest of the show. And those of you regular No BS Newsers, you're probably just downloading it and watching it as we speak, or maybe already did. But right after the show, Charlie was like, I got to get out of here. There's a shooting in Detroit, police shooting. It was like, oh, no, because he'd just been talking about there were three quadruple shootings in, I think, 2 weeks. Plus the freeway shootings. There's a dozen freeway shootings now. Mm-hmm. A dozen freeway shootings in the last 3 weeks, I think.
Well, what happened on Friday was in relation to the July 4th shooting.
They were investigating that was when eight people were shot, right?
Yeah, and I believe this guy killed three of them.
I mean, this is just completely insane what's going on out there. So
I would like to say, though, well, go ahead. You can tell the story.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, James Craig did a phenomenal job.
Oh, yeah.
Being out there, first of all, like in person, being out there, getting ahead of it, but most importantly, having the press conference and releasing multiple body cam footage. Because when we were talking about Phoenix, it's like, okay, just show us all the footage right now.
Well, Phoenix.
Because you're fighting this stupid social media public relations problem. So you know what you do? You get all your information out there too.
Don't
waste any time doing it. And he did a fucking phenomenal job getting it out there.
But he was fortunate that they had video that made it very clear what's going on, and that's not always the case. In fact, in Phoenix, they have promised they will have video out in 10 to 14 days is their new policy. They said previously the fastest they got video out, because they don't want to rush video out, was 45 days. And they could have put out more video.
That's a problem? Isn't that a problem because of this issue of social media?
Yeah, because people believe the police are trying to murder people, which is ridiculous. Police are not trying to murder people.
No, but when you see the George Floyd video and the Arbery
a million
video,
times, yeah, but that sure. that is a completely separate event, rare event, a horrible event.
I understand that.
But
a lot of people,
these
a lot
police
of people
out
don't.
There, those people, well, that's but, th- but you my can't point just is always kowtow to the mob.
No, but that's the narrative you're fighting.
Well,
put the video out.
Here's the thing: they specifically said the speed is 45 days or more. They put out a video because, and they didn't want to, but in Phoenix, this guy was shot who was sitting in a car, who wouldn't get out of a car, and they're investigating a stabbing in the air, or somebody who had a knife, I think. I don't even think there was a stabbing. And so they wanted to clear the area. He wouldn't get out of the car. So they're begging him to get out of the car. He won't. He announces that he has a gun, which of course concerns everyone, and then he picks up the gun, and I guess he pointed it close enough to the cops that I think it's three police shot him immediately. Three police, like bang, bang, bang. Multiple shots. Dead. So what happens? Just like in Detroit, the mob says, he didn't even have a gun. So the police chief, who is a black female, by the way, said, yes, he absolutely had a gun. And we've got it on every body cam we have. And we will get this all out. And the pressure was so intense, the protest started immediately. I mean, like that. So they put out a video of right after the shooting. I think there's still smoke in the air. You see a guy going in, and he gets the gun out of the car. And you can hear them talking, and they're not talking because they're on camera either. It's not like somebody just turned on a camera. And it's very apparent that they collected this gun from the car. So what happens? They say, oh, they're manipulating evidence. He didn't even have a gun. Look what they did. So now they want more video immediately. And she was so I think, overwhelmed by the immediate response to it that she brought in the FBI. And now the FBI is calling the shots. So she can't just put out video every time somebody complains.
Well, that's why I just think you just put it all out like Chief Craig did. You just get it all out there and get it out there right away.
But with this, does that mean that every single time, every time that a person dies at the hands of law enforcement, that we're going to have to watch that person die just so the mob, just so the general populace can say, yeah, I think that one was just.
Why not?
Here's what happens, though. The mob doesn't always agree, even after they see video. Well, put on Channel 4 News Friday night.
That sounds like Faces of Death to me.
Put on Channel 4 News at 11:03. Here they've responded to the mob. They've let the mob push them to hurry through the video, which is not how they do business typically, and put it out and make it crystal clear that the mob, which was protesting, jumping on police cars, throwing shit at cops, which this disrespect of the police who are out there now, who didn't do anything wrong, is fucking disgusting. Channel 4, 11 o'clock on Friday. You'll see that after this video has been shown, they still don't think that this guy did anything wrong. And they refer to this guy as the victim, too.
But there's a lot of people that will see it and understand
that. He pulled a gun and shot at the police, and he was shot. That is not a victim.
I can't believe he missed that shot, too.
I know.
Incredible.
I didn't like some of the headlines I was reading, too. Like, well after this thing had been seen. You know, police shoot man, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's a what do you... Is it all about clicks? Does it have to always be about the clicks? It's 11:03. Anyway, Chief Craig was under horrible pressure because there were a lot of threats on social media. People saying, "Let's kill some cops" on social media, and everyone just jumps to conclusions and says, "Oh, the uncle of the victim said that." He was told to get on the ground. He put his hands up to give himself up, and they executed him, shot him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Which is why
and
I'm glad
everyone
the video's
believed
out.
Him. The mob said, "Oh, well, he's his uncle, so he must be telling the truth." No, he was
why
not telling the truth.
You got to get that video out. That's why he did a hell of a job getting that video
police
out.
Can't. It's the police. There has to be some minute level, and if the media would stop demonizing. In fact, this story where it turns out the police did absolutely a brilliant job.
Yep.
You ever see it on CNN this weekend? I didn't. I had it on for 4 hours on Saturday. I'm going, they've got to be running this story. Nope. Not even once. I guess it's not good enough. And there's good video. I mean, if you really want video,
yeah.
It's just not the video they want.
Is this where you want?
I guess, is this the story?
I think so. Going to stop whatsoever until he's gotten justice for his sibling that he called a hero.
And Chief James Craig needs to tell the truth.
Akeem Littleton's older brother, Rashad Littleton Schaefer, speaking out against what he calls a crime before a group of protesters organized by Detroit Will Breathe.
I want justice.
Even despite the video evidence, Rashad is refusing to believe how the incident played out. Many protesters by his side took to the streets to voice their opinions on major roadways like Livernois and Outer Drive, along with several residential streets as well.
I want Chief James Craig to stop lying. Because he's not making sense. And with the cop, he said, good job for?
Yeah.
That's not a good job in the city of Detroit.
We know for a fact that had we not been here, that video would have been released the same day.
Police Chief James Craig spoke on the matter this morning.
What does that have to do with it, Tristan?
So they released the video, and still the cops did it.
Clearly, when you look at this video, the officer responded appropriately. He certainly was an imminent threat to his own life and that of his partner.
What do we want? Where do we want it?
But Rashad specifically has a demand for both the police department and the city that he wants taken very seriously.
I really want a meeting with Chief James Craig, the mayor of Detroit, by next week. If they don't give it to me, I'm going to the city county building myself and standing right there until I get a meeting from him.
And as you can tell from the
video, look at the attitude.
What
look
is
at the fucking attitude.
Well, I think his opinion is a little compromised because his brother's a murderer.
Yeah. And for people to think that, oh, well, they got to do something because that guy says they have to do something. And by the way, that guy being on the news saying,
not meeting with James Craig. I'm telling
by the way,
you that, right
that guy being on the news saying that Chief Craig is lying and it's manipulated and my brother's a hero. There's a lot of people who watch that and they don't see the video. They don't see what Chief Craig showed and they'll just believe it.
Well, they did show it, though, in that piece.
Yeah, they did. But I still think a lot of people say, oh, there's something they're not showing, as they did after they showed the video, which was clear as a bell.
Yeah.
But, you know, the police have been demonized so badly. The protests start before anyone has any information. And when I hear people chanting, no justice, no peace, it's well, like, it looks, wait, who is the people not, who is not allowing justice here?
Well, when you see it,
really?
When you see it with George Floyd, that makes a little bit of sense with Minneapolis. When you see it with this, it's, it just makes them look fucking stupid because they
Detroit
are fucking
Detroit doesn't even have
stupid.
A reputation for doing that sort of thing.
But Craig, once again, with the protests and the police van when the people jumped on it, he got that video out and those photos out right away too, saying, nope, this is what happened. I don't know what else you want to say.
I don't think the police should constantly have to defend themselves. It's bullshit.
I think it's just them putting out the video.
Well, but I mean,
I
the position.
I just think that's so
well, look what happened in Phoenix, though. They put out the video and they're like, oh, they're manipulating the video.
They put out one
and
video.
Their protests. They put the video of them retrieving the gun from the car, which was the complaint, that he did not have a gun. They didn't want to put out any video because they felt they were going to go to the FBI and have the FBI handle it.
I just think he would dump it all out.
Well, you can do whatever you want, but they put out a video of them collecting
anyway,
the gun.
So just dump it
no,
out.
No, they're not going to believe it. So what's the point?
So don't put anything out?
Well, I would wait until they do. I mean, they're doing an investigation. That's not how it works. The mob can't decide how everything works. The mob may be right about George Floyd, and I'm part of that mob, but that doesn't mean they're right about everything else, and they should
don't put out
change
the video
police
until
procedures.
Until the investigation's done.
No, they're trying. She said, we usually take 45 days to do an investigation like this. We're now going to get the video out in 10 to 14 days under any circumstances. That's a huge improvement. That's responding to the mob right there.
I don't see anything wrong with that. I think the way Craig did it was great. Get it out right
he
away.
He did, but he had the video. He had a very, I mean, it was a very simple, demonstration. And actually, it wasn't that easy. There were times during that demonstration where it's like, oh boy, I don't know about this, because you couldn't tell what was going on. It was a very, really? No, when he said run it back in slow-mo,
yeah, then, by the way,
you couldn't fucking see it.
It was quite a mess of the... Did you watch the press conference?
Yeah, I did. Really, and they don't. That's not how I think he really wants to do things.
No.
I think he'd rather be organized and have time to really look at it and say what he really believes. But the mob can't wait.
How many times do we see a story? Forget about anything police related. How many times do you see a story and you want to go, where's the video of it? Let's see the video of
what
it.
What story are you talking about?
Any story.
Well, yeah. If, but
you want to see the video.
It's
of it,
different
so what's
when
the
it's
problem?
When it's a major case. I mean, you know, when there's a murder case, the defense doesn't just throw their side out there all of a sudden. They don't just throw everything out there. It needs a prosecution. They do eventually, but they want to figure out what they're going to do and how best to approach it. And that's not unfair.
I don't think it does any harm putting a video out right away.
Well, it harmed them.
I think it does way more good than it does bad.
It hurt them in Phoenix because they're being accused of manipulating the video. And
they didn't put it all out at once.
They were complaining that he didn't have a gun. They showed the gun. They showed him getting the gun out of the car. I mean, if the trust level is so low, it almost doesn't matter. I mean, they almost could just put everything out and just let people have a field day with it. And people will, of course, manipulate it and probably re-edit it and show it the way they want to show it.
Anybody with a brain would see it and go, oh, okay, yeah, that's what happened.
Well, that's not, but you saw how that guy reacted. They were protesting after
the
video.
That's a brother of a murderer. I don't really fucking care what he has to say about it.
After they showed the video, people were still protesting.
They're idiots.
And people were demanding.
Now we know what
stupid they are. Those are the idiots. Those are the people they're responding to.
Yeah, now we know how dumb they are.
Well, then I would not base my entire operation on how a mob wants things to be done. They still have to have a protocol. And the eight people that were arrested. It's like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Let them out. And I think they're all out, or they were all out by 3 a.m. or something. But then it's, you know, it's always something. It's like nothing can ever just be someone's fault. It's the cop's fault, always. And
well,
by the way,
I don't think that's the overwhelming opinion with this, though. I think 99.9% of people know what really happened there. And because a few idiots are out there yelling and screaming.
Well, they get a lot of attention on social media and they get a lot of people worked up. And then three local TV stations put their camera, look at this protest. Oh my God. And you know, here's what we hear. And then the uncle said this and it's like, yep. Oh shit.
Cause we'll sit there by the TV and watch it.
You know what I thought, honestly? Yeah. Did. But the protest gets bigger, 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 wilder, wilder, wilder. They're throwing shit at the cops. They're jumping on the cars. That's just insane. I mean, we cannot have a society where this is how things are done. So it's just not going to work.
So don't show any of it?
No, I never said don't show any of it. I said, I thought Chief Craig did a great job. If they can do that, I'm sure they would.
He did a fantastic job. I just wish it would always be like that.
Oh, I wish it would too, but I don't think a police's job is as easy as everyone thinks it is. In fact, there were two cops murdered in McAllen, Texas. Somebody called 911 on domestic violence.
Nobody's saying that, oh, that's an easy job.
No, it's not always easy to show why you reacted in a split second when somebody's pulling a gun or somebody has an object in their hand or whatever. It's very complicated. Just dump all the video out there. Well, shit, people see the video and some people say, oh, I don't think so. That's bullshit. Or they don't like the video. They think it doesn't show what the chief says it does. So they have to.
Well, that's going
to
happen if it's released in the first hour or if it's released 45 days later.
Well, no, they're
at least you're eliminating people going, what are they hiding?
In the case of Phoenix, they have like 8 body cams and they have also phone video from people that they're also looking at. So they're looking at a lot of stuff and not just the stuff. There's a whole investigation around it. And not only that, they called the FBI in because she realized that there's nothing I can say that's going to help. So I want to bring in some real pros.
My only point is you're fighting this, and we saw it with Michael Brown in 2015.
Who's still called a victim, by the way.
I know. You're fighting all this misinformation, so why wouldn't you want to get as much information out there as fast as you can?
They do. I truly believe they do. I don't think they're trying to draw suspicion of themselves. They already do that without doing anything.
Which is what I love about the way Craig responded. I think he handled it perfectly.
Well, he was able to do that. And I give him, I guarantee you, a lot of people around the country would say the same thing. They go, oh, my God, that's fantastic the way he handled it. But it's not always that easy. And these, like I said, these guys in McAllen, Texas, which, again, not a big story. Two cops are called by 911. They arrive. It's a domestic situation. This guy with the DUI, fleeing and eluding. I mean, this is previously. Assault. I mean, 23-year-old with a record. Pretty solid record. Anyway, he won't come out of the house. In fact, I guess he was hiding behind a car, which they didn't know. So they start to enter the house and boom, 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 boom. Dead. Two cops. Dead. Done. And they went to arrest this guy, by the way, the 23-year-old. He shot himself in the head. So good for him. Where's Brandon?
I'm right here.
Sitting there.
Okay.
he doesn't like arguing.
Well, this is such a weird.
I'm not arguing. I'm just pointing out.
I'm telling you, 2020 is insane right now, and it just seems that if you have the wrong viewpoint of a specific topic, it could end you. And so,
Look at actors complaining. I thought that was the funniest thing. It's like, I've never heard of actors complaining. And actually, they were quoting people and saying they weren't using their names because they think they'll be canceled.
We're complaining about what?
Complaining that white people are being cheated now.
I think the answer is to make more movies.
Well, there's only certain people that get, there's only X number of people that get the budget. And
so you got to make more movies.
Well, they used to. I loved it when they made more movies because now they don't make the movies. The movies I really like are dramas, I would say, which sounds
anything
really,
with Hugh
electricity.
Grant.
Yeah. Hugh Grant and electricity.
Electricity is huge.
It's a great movie for Drew. It could just be Hugh Grant sitting in a room with a bunch of electricity.
Kind of funny.
I got a quick little
breaking news with Mort Krim.
Elvis Presley's grandson has committed suicide today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Boy.
Lisa Marie Presley's son Benjamin, 27 years old.
Riley's brother, Riley Keough.
Poor Lisa Marie. She had a rough life.
I thought her publicist's comment was a little weird.
What'd she say?
Do you have it, Brandon, in that story? I already clicked off of it.
She had a response?
Yeah, scroll up.
I can't control this right now.
It was something along the lines of, well, she's got twins to take care of and an older daughter, which I guess is the way of saying, hey,
how old are her twins?
11.
11-year-old twins?
Sad. Yeah. She's with the guy with the weird hat.
With the hat guy, yeah.
Isn't it the hat guy's kid? Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, these assholes. damn it. I'm looking for this email.
What is it?
That's an email. Is it just K-Bed for some reason? Here's Laura says she's dreaming. Our drops are in her dreams.
Oh, hot.
That's pretty funny.
Speaking of drops, we got to get... Oh, I already told you. Never mind, Brandon. The lady yelling at the workers to speak English, which who cares, but she,
oh, yeah.
She does it in a very good New England accent.
Here's some of the newer drops that I've already gotten so far, and more coming on 209-66 Boner. Don't get me started. I guess.
Hey, before you start real quick, I just want to mention that someone just sent me, someone's like they're listening to the show, Weeks of Protest. Weeks of protest against racial injustice continued Saturday as demonstrators marched in the city's west side following the death of a black man who was shot by police there a day earlier. Protesters began marching at the intersection of McNichols and San Juan near the locations where Detroit police officers shot and killed 19-year-old Hakeem Littleman while making an arrest of another individual. Protests continued on to 7 Mile and Lodge Freeway before circling back around. Littleton's older brother spoke after the protesters finished their route.
Older brother? That dude with the red hair?
I don't know. After 8 p.m., Sennebys demanding a sit-down with James Craig. My brother was a good, good man. He was a warrior. I want to let everyone know this, including James Craig. I want a meeting by next week.
Yeah, not going to happen, my man.
Protests included 200 people. It was peaceful. Of course, they're always peaceful. It was organized by Detroit Will Breathe. Most had dispersed after Littleton spoke. They asked demonstrators to return Sunday for the 45th day of protests. We're doing it so difficult. That's why it's rare. Let's see. I'm looking for more on this. Craig said the shootings were justified. And protester Saturday said it took too long for officials to release dash and body cam footage of the shooting.
Wrong.
Organizer Nikita Renee Wallace issued a statement earlier Saturday on behalf of the group saying while Detroit police released the video, their actions to protest the day before did not sit well. Instead of engaging with the crowd by sending someone to talk to people to tell us that the video would be released, reaching out to the family, DPD sent police in riot gear marching through the neighborhood to intimidate the crowd, ram them with shields, beat them with batons, and blind them with pepper spray. Okay, I'm sure this is all true.
I watched a lot of that. I didn't see that. Although there is a great moment. This reminded me from the whole thing.
Once again, DPD showed its ability to escalate a situation and sought to beat any criticisms of DPD away with their batons and shields. 300 people gathered for the impromptu protest Friday. Several threw bottles, bricks, and other projectiles at officers who deployed tear gas. Two officers were injured. Okay. Great.
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of tweets when it first happened. Just tweets that were saying, call to action, get your ass down to this address right now. And
do you follow Detroit Will Breathe? Is that,
yeah. Well, oh, one of them really was Detroit Will Breathe.
Some very inflammatory stuff going around because I don't know why. I don't know. But
well, that's what I mean. You're fighting this information war, so more information's better than.
Yeah, except it doesn't matter what the information is.
So don't put it out.
No, I did not say don't put it out. I said you don't have to put it out 5 minutes. The guy comes in and you just put the video on TV. Nobody would do that. Nobody in any right mind would do that because the mob says you have to. I thought it was great that he did it, and I'm fine with it because honestly, when I started hearing on local news that the uncle said he was executed and shot in the back of the head, I had my own doubts. I'm like, oh, well, geez, I don't know. Because once you plant that, you're like, oh, shit, I don't know. I hope this video says the right thing. And then they said that that Chief Craig said, no, not at all. And I trust him. I believe him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt better. It was good to see the video. But the people who are angry about it doesn't matter. They're still protesting. And look at that, you know, no social distancing. I just saw a story tonight on NBC News about how the Diamond Lake party, they said a few people have tested positive for coronavirus, and then they show Jobby Nooner. Torch but they don't show any protests, and no one ever suggests that anyone gets coronavirus in these large clumps of protesters.
Here's my favorite part from the protest.
Tester right now. Let's see if we can listen in a little bit. As
good idea.
Bullhorn, and he is.
Do you think that's a good idea to listen?
No, I would be leery.
I gotta give it to him. I like to respect the police, but today I gotta say, fuck the police.
Let me ask you, how long? Yeah, well, we kind of ruined it there. How long do you think they can go live with it?
I'm gonna say another 10 seconds.
Tester right now.
I backed it up, so we'll time
in a little bit. As
Brandon, do you have a guess how long they're gonna stick with it?
I don't know. Yeah, just a couple seconds.
Fuck the police! Fuck the police! Did you hear me, all you hollow bitches? All you motherfuckers! I lay my life down!
Look at those cops standing there saying nothing, and someone's yelling at them, calling them motherfuckers. And I mean, honest to God, I don't know how anyone can do this job.
3 F-bombs right at 6:30.
Yeah, I know.
Oops! Not such a good idea to go live with a microphone right there.
That's what it's like to be a cop right now. Just people screaming at you. You don't do anything. He's just standing there, essentially trying to protect territory. And, you know, he's a racist, he's a motherfucker, he's an asshole, he's all those things. They're, you know, cops are just the worst people in the world right now. And crime is on the rise. That's the scary part. I don't know what Detroit's numbers are like, but they've had some really bad shootings lately. Really bad. New York's crime is way up. And de Blasio really was kind of blasé about it. Like, we're going to get the numbers back down. No? Okay. Atlanta, Chicago. Chicago is incredible. I don't know how many shootings they had over this past weekend, but the last couple weekends was just horrible. And up. I mean, I don't think anybody worries too much if things are sort of the same or a little better, but when it goes up, and I would think police would be a lot less aggressive about, and I don't, you know, I remember how they used to attack crime, because we were the murder capital for years in the 80s, 70s, even in the 90s, and they had those stress units. New York had stop and frisk, and the idea was that we got to get these fucking people off the street before they do that, and then, you know, that's too aggressive.
Oh, yes, Detroit style, very nice.
I don't know. I just don't know how you stop that activity, that sort of activity in the neighborhoods. I don't know how anyone can do it. And when they are aggressive, it's all a problem because it's focused on certain neighborhoods in the inner city, and it usually appears or is something that affects mostly black people. And, you know, I don't blame them for not liking it, especially the ones who are doing what they're supposed to do. So I'm trying to think, was there... over the weekend.
Well, there's a lot of stuff over the weekend.
I know there was.
What else?
The boycott. Did you send me the story, Brandon, about the black Texas A&M student?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't know. What did he do?
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought this came from you. He called the police because there were notes on his car with the N-word, all lives matter, which, of course, the three dirtiest words in the world, and you don't belong here, et cetera, et cetera. And Texas A&M police investigate, and they find video of him putting the notes on his own car.
Whoops.
Tucker Carlson's writer was fired for...
Yeah.
Was he impersonating someone online and putting out...
To me like it was his burner account, you know, his anonymous account. So many people have an anonymous internet account.
That's
where
what
they
I
can spew anything they want.
Anonymous is not him. Yeah, so he's just saying horrific things, and about women too. What the fuck was that? I mean, what the fuck is any of it? I don't understand. You know, we're getting right now, we're trying to get an advertisement out of Facebook, and there's all this hullabaloo about who we are. Are we really who we are? You know, Jason and so on. And yet look at all the people who are doing bullshit acting like they're other people.
Yeah.
But we're trying to buy an ad, and it's like an act of God to determine who we are. Do they really do this with everyone, with every Facebook account? I don't think so. Although that guy, was he on Twitter?
That's what I was just trying to look. For some reason, I thought he was on Reddit.
Oh, he was on Reddit. Yeah, because he would start these horrible strings.
Yeah, they fired him pretty quick.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, Brandon.
All right.
Such an insincere apology.
No, I really am. No, there was
No, you're not. No, you're not. I know how we know you're not, because the last show, you were editing there and I was doing stuff here and I saw you laughing really, really hard and I asked you what you were laughing about. And you wouldn't tell me because I knew it was your fart on the
last show. I
believe
his head also disappeared from view after one fart.
He was listening back to his fart on the show, laughing his balls off, which is fine. But don't pretend like you don't like it.
That particular flatulence was very loud, and so I got a chuckle out of it. I thought it was funny. This one here, it was just in passing. I didn't think it would pick it up. I apologize.
By the way,
Trump wore a mask over the weekend. That's another thing we didn't cover.
And he looked badass doing it.
And he commuted Roger Stone.
It's funny. He does look stupid with a mask on. I don't know why.
Really?
Well, he said, I got the impression that
he looks like a guy with a mask on.
It was kind of a vanity thing. I don't know why he looks stupid. Maybe it's because I know he doesn't want to wear it.
I don't know. I think the Roger Stone thing is far worse, but
than wearing a mask?
Well, just the whole mask deal in general.
You know what's interesting about Roger Stone to me is that he would do this not on his last day as president. He does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and if he had desires to be reelected, that was not the day to do that. Nor was any other day to
do
that.
Why not Friday? Most people don't pay attention.
Well, I just think with an election 4 months away or 3 months away, it's like, I don't know why he had to do that. But he does what, I mean,
Ray's about to go to prison.
In a way, it's to his credit. He doesn't wait till the last day when, you know, he's just gone and nobody can say shit like, you know, some of the other people have been commuted or sentences have been commuted.
By the way, you know the guy that you were talking about that worked for Tucker and got busted? Did you see how he got busted?
I didn't know. I just know that.
So his last name's Neff. He went by Charles the 12th on Charles XII. So he indicated on this board, it must have been, I don't know if it was on Twitter or Reddit or not or where it was, but said that he had gone to Dartmouth, which the real guy did, was an alumnus of Dartmouth, which the real guy did, said he'd been working for 4 years in his current job in journalism.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know why he would be saying that.
I think people...
That was some pretty racist stuff he said, too.
And misogynistic.
Well, it sounds like he was trying to stir it up, too. He was trying to get other people to do the same and have a nice big old racist string.
He also wrote a parody song of the We Didn't Start the Fire song and posted about it on the board, including a screenshot of an email he received from Tucker Carlson praising a lyric in the song. And then he sang the parody song at the Daler Gummer Christmas party a few years ago, which the biggest problem is that he's singing a song at the Christmas party in my mind.
Oh, God.
So stupid. The whole thing is fucking stupid.
You know, asshole. Talking about releasing what Chief Craig did, Livonia police have released all their information because of that billboard that says...
Good, they should. Put it all out.
I forgot what exactly it said, but... I was really having a laugh reading the comments because, honestly, the comments, people complain about the police in Livonia. It was more white people complaining about getting tickets, and then there were people arguing over the statistics, and it was weird. The Detroit News did not break down the information at all. I don't know why they didn't, but anyway, 61% of tickets written are to white males, and someone was trying to do the math and say, well, see, 39% of them go to black people, and that's not true because they're white women. And there are Hispanic people, and there are all kinds of people, but 61% of their tickets are to white males.
Does it say where? Well, maybe not. Like, where those people are from? Are they talking about
the white males?
Yeah. Are they from Livonia?
I don't know. I mean, does it matter?
Well, no, I'm just curious, because isn't Livonia 90? Didn't they say it was 90% white, which I found that really hard to believe, too.
I don't know. You know, I didn't really get that deep into it. I just was kind of interested in the data, which they didn't really say too much about it.
Yeah, according to the census, it says 90% white, 4.4% black or African American.
4%?
Yeah.
So the 6% are, because you said 90s white?
That's what it says according to...
Yeah, Wikipedia has it, 92 and then 3.4%. So, yeah, about 90.
That may not be totally up to date.
Well, 20. I mean, they're going by the last census. Thank God we'll have a new one soon.
Somebody commented, Livonia, where the police own you and the girls won't bone you.
Good one.
I have no idea why someone posted that, or if that's a commonly thing said about Livonia. It could be anywhere. Why don't we get out of here?
Ready?
It's boy.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, we didn't even get into the Johnny Depp thing. I don't know how we didn't come up with Amber Turd before.
I know Brandon's very upset about
that. He called her Amber Turd?
Yeah, after she took a dump.
And then also the Courtney Stodden, she's very upset with Brian Austin Green because she was just a hump and dump, and it turns out he was nailing all those chicks on the side after Megan Fox left him.
Oh, Brian.
I hope she's okay.
The latest in the PPP loans, Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, and all the televangelists jumped on board, so they got theirs.
You know what, though?
The audacity of these fucking people. The Catholic Church got a lot of money.
Yeah.
How can a church...
They have employees.
But it seems to me they're a little bigger than the mom and pops they were targeting.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Jim Baker, I get so fucking mad he's on TV at all. Hey, everybody, go to, if you want free money, go to your favorite new website for free money, which is... Wait, where's my... Is this my copy? Yeah.
You can also
get your free gift card for $20. Visit Royal Oak. Go to visitroyaloak.com. Sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter. You'll get a $20 e-gift card that can be used at any participating business, such as Atomic Coffee, Creative Art Studio, Paper Trail Books, More Leather, O'Toole's. Oh, what about The Rock on Third? Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, some of our favorites. Once again, go to visitroyaloak.com. Sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter. You get a $20 gift certificate that can be used at any participating businesses. Free money from Royal Oak! Yes!
Links right on the front page of our site.
We don't have any skeletons in our closet or anything.
What skeletons
like that.
Do we have that we don't already have?
We don't have anything left. It's like we ain't got nothing. It's like maybe I fired like 200 or 500 people or something. And like maybe Tom went to a drug clinic, you know?
I got in the taxi and went to treatment.
Yeah, but like they said our tattoo is on our butt, and that is a lie. Our tattoo is right here.
This is not our butt, Dennis. That is not our butt. That is not our butt.